जयम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। तिरिला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री 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 गुरु श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्रील प्रभुपाद नमामि श्रीपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे नमशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीशु शाखान्वितांश्च नमाहं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे। नमाहं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्तसरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दयिताया कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः। माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते। नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दिनतारिणे न्यूगविरुद्धाभसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमुक्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पादाम्बुजाय ते नमः। नमो भक्तिविनोदाय चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगवराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमेस्त्वं निर्देष्टा स जनप्रियाः वैष्णवसार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः। वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो नमो नमः। महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकं। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेशगोपिका कान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तु ते। जयदां सुरदौ भङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्बोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीश्रीराधाशीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भी तटस्थित कर्षान्वेणुस्वनेर्गोपीर्गोपीनाथाश्रियेस्तुनाः तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुदे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, if you remember last Sunday, we were discussing this verse, Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Vidhi, which is, I think, verse 3. Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata Kshetram Kshetrajnayo Jnanam Yatta Jnanam Matam Mama. Krishna is saying, isn't it? Very important verse it is, because this knowledge of Krishna is saying Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, that has to be very clearly understood. We have seen that all the different components of the Kshetram, which is body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all of them is Kshetram. Kshetrajnan is the Atma, Krishna who is present inside. Upanishad says, Yada Sudiptad Pavagad Vispulingad. Just like Yada Sudiptad Pavagad Vispulingad. In other words, from the Agni, from fire, how the sparks have come, in a similar way, from this huge burning fire inside, which is the Atma, from there all the sparks have come. What are the sparks? The mind, intelligence, and things like that. They are all the sparks in there. Sahasrasha Prabhavande Sarupaha. Thousands of them are coming out like this. Tadha Akshara Dhivida Somyas Bhavam Prajayande Tatra Chayavi Yanti. Chayavi Yanti. So generally what is said is that when you have properly assimilated this verse, you should experience the self. That's what is expected from us. This particular verse, Kshetrajnam Chabhimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. This verse is meant to create that knowledge of the self, experience of the self within. It is expected from that. So, because Krishna is saying here, Krishna is telling us that I am sitting inside you, to each one of us. Krishna is saying to us that I am sitting inside you. So that experience has to happen. That is what is expected from this. And Krishna is also saying, situated within our heart, each one of us, in each one of our heart, Krishna is saying, I am the one who is running the body, who keeps this body going all the time, isn't it? That is spiritual realization, to realize that inside. So Krishna says, I am that force inside, that consciousness inside, who is keeping this body going. Same way, in the 10th chapter, Krishna spoke, if you remember, Aham Atma Gudakesha, another verse in the same way. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutashayasthita Aham Adhyam Cha Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Andameva Cha. In a similar way, Krishna is saying the same thing here. So there Hesha says, I am that consciousness inside everyone. I am the consciousness in everyone. And therefore, while listening to these verses, Aham Atma Gudakesha, similarly Kshetram Yam Chapi Mam Vidhi, these verses are meant to create that experience inside us of the Krishna's presence inside, of the self inside. So that Kshetrajnan Krishna is saying is Krishna, is Narayana. So Atma Tvam Girija Madi Sahajara Prana Shariram Griham Pujate Vishayobha Bhogarajana Nidra Samadhi Sthiti Sanjara Padayo Pradakshana Vidhi Stotrani Sarva Shiro Yadyat Karma Karodi Tat Agilam Shambho Tavaradhanam. In the so worship is realizing Krishna like that in everybody, in everyone's body, to see that and paying your respects to that, Krishna's presence in others, that is possible only when one has realized the truth. when one has realized the truth. So that time you will understand the meaning of this verse, Atmatvam Girijamadi. In other words, saying there that Pranam Shariram Griham and Atmatvam, that Atma is you. Krishna is inside that, isn't it? And Pujade Vishayobhoga Rajana Nidra Samadhisthiti. In that presence in the body, everything, every kind of gratification of the body is actually worship of that person inside, Krishna presence inside. In other words, for a person who has realized the truth, all his mental activities, bodily activities, activities related to the senses, everything simply becomes a worship of the Antaryami inside. That is what that verse is saying. That Nidra Samadhisthiti, and his sleep is like his Samadhi state for him. And yet Sanjara Padayo Pradakshanavidi Stotrani Sarvashilo. That whenever he is walking, it's like circumambulating Krishna. Circumambulating Krishna. So much that experience to come, first of all, prior to that, this state has to come. Which one? Kshetrajnam Chabhimam Vidhi. When self is realized, this is the next thing what will happen. That one will experience that Atma inside is Krishna and Sahajara Pranam Shariram Griham. That body is the house of Krishna's occupation. This is his house. This is his temple, in other words. Body is the temple. So that's why it becomes a temple of worship then. The body becomes just like a temple for worship. So, therefore, that body has come from food, isn't it? Annam. Annamayam it is. Gross body is annamayam. So, therefore, and food that is consumed inside is the offering to the deity inside. This is how the rishis presents to us this body. That the food that you are offering, taking, is an offering to the deity inside, Antaryami inside. And similarly, all the five senses, whatever activities are performed with the five senses in the body, all of them, you can compare it, they compare it like this, to a lamb which has got 5 wicks. When you do the arati to the deity with the 5 wicks in the hand, in the lamp, similarly, the 5 activities of the senses becomes like an arati for the Antaryami inside. Becomes a arati for Antaryami inside. But in order to recognize the presence of that Antaryami inside, first of all, you have to purify this temple. You have to clean up the temple first. Clean up the temple first. So, and you have to know the temple first before you know the deity inside. Before you know the deity inside. We have to understand the temple very well. And after that, you have to go into the deity. You have to go into the deity. That is the system in this chapter. That is the system in this chapter Krishna has followed. First understand the temple, then you understand the deity inside. So, therefore, first thing what he does is, Krishna is saying here, all your attention on the kshetram, on the body. That is, Krishna begins like that. What is that kshetram? That is the question, isn't it? So you will see, when you go through this chapter, lot of discussion about kshetram. Generally, Krishna doesn't discuss body. But because it's a temple now, that way Krishna is presenting it, Krishna is saying, before you go inside the temple, you should know the temple's construction, how the temple is built, and then you should go inside and see the deity inside. So therefore, you will see in the next verse, Krishna is going to talk about, and the same system, that to take our attention to the kshetram first, rather than to the kshetrajna. So attention is on the kshetram, you will see. Earlier, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, in the second chapter, Krishna said, idam shariram, aham and idam, two things he spoke, isn't it? Aham is the kshetrajnan, and idam is the kshetram. So there he said, idam shariram, and now in the next verse you can see, tad kshetram, that kshetram which was called idam, he is calling about, referring to that as tad kshetram. You will see that also in the next verse. So, before going to that, we will just look at some of the this tetratetrajnyam chabhimam vidhi sarvakshetreshu bharata arguments and counter arguments about that. This is a big topic for among the great personalities. They discuss that, argue for and against that in different ways. So there, what they say is that, as I mentioned before, that kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam yatta jnanam matam mama. There the question was that if Krishna is inside, as Krishna is Ishvara, Supreme Controller, if he is inside and he is the one who is experiencing the happiness and distress of everything, that will bring a problem. That means Krishna is coming under the influence of Maya, isn't it? That question will come naturally. On the other hand, suppose there is a separate personality, apart, separated from Krishna, existing, and if he is not there, then it will mean that material existence also won't be there, because Krishna is not under material existence or any time. So these complications will come from that. On the other hand, both of these things are not acceptable, in the sense that what we find, leaving this behind, in the world, this is where the difficulty is. If you take Krishna as Ishvara and Krishna is the Atma inside, then this question comes that Krishna has come under the influence of Prakriti. On the other hand, if you take this, that separated from Krishna, there is no other samsari, I mean one who is experiencing the material existence. If he is not there, it means that material existence is not there. In other words, material existence is not there. Which means, if you say like that, there is no material existence, then the question will come that the bondage and liberation and shastram, everything becomes meaningless then. Is it not? But you know that Krishna says also in the Bhagavatam, what is that? Bandham? Bandham ukta idi vyakhyo gunato me na vastuda gunasyam maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. That also Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam. Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. What's happening is that everything is happening in relationship with the subtle body. And in ignorance, we are going and imposing that on the Atma. That's where all the complications comes from, isn't it? Atma, under any circumstances, is never touched by any of these things. Material existence also is not there for the Atma. Atma has no other qualities except it's always pure, isn't it? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is what it is. So here, that question will come. But on the other hand, when all this is there, you can't deny that there is no material existence. Because why? We are experiencing happiness and distress every day in life, isn't it? And also, every day, due to our pious activity and sinful activity, we are experiencing the material existence also from that. Happiness and distress is coming, and material existence is there, which we are experiencing. So, it is very difficult to reject the material existence based on this argument. So, the answer to that is, it is not correct. Why? Because this problem is coming only because of knowledge and ignorance in a person. Knowledge and ignorance is there. That is what is causing this problem. So, and both knowledge and ignorance gives two different results. That is another side to it. Knowledge gives you one result, ignorance gives you another result. And they are opposing. They are contradicting. And vidya or knowledge gives you shreyasa. Shreyasa means ultimately good. And avidya or ignorance causes prayasa. Prayasa means temporarily it is beneficial. That's what the difference is. Avidya and vidya, the difference is both exist. And vidya gives you the benefit of the ultimate good, and prayers, avidya gives you the benefit of temporarily good. So Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions that one of them, shreyas is gives you liberation, and prayers gives you bhogam, sense enjoyment. Prayers gives you sense enjoyment. This is the basic difference. Always we have to remember, in all these examples also, 100% perfection is not possible in any examples. Reason being that certain parameters are already set. What is that? Soul has nothing to do with the material life. Soul is completely independent. Soul is not affected by the body. Soul is pure. These are parameters set already. It's not said, that is the truth. But in our experience, it's not like that. This is the problem, isn't it? While living in this world, we are going through all the miseries and distress of this world. And we always get confused about it, that I'm suffering, I'm going through so much distress in life, what should I do? People ask this question. And that is why Krishna also spoke about these three states very clearly. Why does he say that? He says, as soon as you have an experience of a distress, first thing what you do, he says, you go to Sushupti and think about it. What's happening in the Sushupti? As soon as you think about Sushupti, what does it mean? That your so-called misery is not real. It's only something that has come and it's meant to go. If it is genuine, if it is a reality, it should stay all the time, isn't it? But the fact that as soon as you go into distress, to deep sleep, any distress, no matter what it is, you have to leave it behind. You can't take that into your deep sleep state. So Krishna's point is that in the deep sleep state, you are not experiencing any distress, and therefore that distress is nothing to do with the soul, with the self. It has completely in terms with the body and the mind. If this point is always meditated, then when distress comes, you should immediately go in that direction, the thoughts. If it is not joining me when I'm going to deep sleep state, that means it's not a genuine, real thing. This distress, what I am, so-called distress I'm experiencing now. Is it not? It's understandable. So that's the same point Krishna is saying here. Vidya, avidya, both of them, that gives two different results. And Vedavyasa Maharshi in the Mahabharatam says, Tathaja Vyasaha Dvavimavatha Panthanav. He says, Imau Dvaveva Panthanav Ityadija Ihaja Dveva Dve Nishte Ukte. Then there's only these two processes, Nivritti and Pravritti, Prayasa and Shreyasa, Nivritti Margam and Pravritti Margam, which probably you know what it means, isn't it? Nivritti Margam means that how you can free yourself from this situation, what we are in today with the body, mind and everything, all this complicated situation where we are caught up in this. Freeing yourself from this is Nivritti. Pravritti Margam is doing things and getting more entangled in there, which is our life actually. So Shruti and Smriti says, ignorance must be removed by knowledge. Ignorance must be removed by knowledge. In the Kenobanishad you will see this famous statement. It says, Iha cheda vedi tada satyamasti na chediha vedin mahadi vinashti. And Purusha Suktam prayers also, tam evam vidwan amrta iha bhavadi nanya pantha vidyade ainaya. These two things. One, he says, Iha cheda vedi tada satyamasti na chediha vedi mahadi vinashti. So Shruti says, Kenobanishad says there, that in this world our life is proper when we know about this understanding. Life is proper, otherwise it is not proper. And one who knows about it, Iha cheda vedi tada satyamasti, he will go back to the truth. Na chediha vedin mahadi vinashti. If he does not understand this principle of vidya and avidya, those who do not believe in this, they say that everything is same. There is no vidya, there is no avidya. Those who have, they will experience a lot of problems later. And so such a person, vidvanna bibedi katashchana, he says that such a person here in this very world itself, he becomes freed from death. He becomes immortal, in other words. And therefore, he says, Upanishad says, there is no other way you can cross over this problem. There is no other way. So, there is a lot of statements in the Upanishads also that the nature of a person who has got a lot of ignorance in him, lot of ignorance in a person. And that is why avidushastu atatasyam bhayam bhavati. In the Taittiriya Upanishad it says, avidushastu atatasyam bhayam bhavati. One who has no knowledge, in who is always in ignorance, is always in fear. Is always in fear. And Kathopanishad says, avidyaya mandare vartamanam. That avidya one has to break up. One has to break and move beyond than the avidya. Another states in Mundaka Upanishad says, Brahma Vedam Brahma Iva Bhavati. When one becomes, realizes Brahman, he becomes Brahman. He becomes Brahman. Anyosau Anya Aham Asmi Iti Nasa Veda Yatha Pashurevamsa Devanam. Brihadaranya Upanishad says, Anyosau Anyam Aham Iti. That when one sees one himself separated from Brahman, and in that existence, Upanishad says, Brihadaranyam says, we have talked about this before, that what will happen to him, he will enter into the worship of so many forms in this world and they will milk you. All the demigods will milk you. That's what they will do. That anyoso anyamahamasmi iti nasa veda yatha pashurevam sa devanam. They are like animals for the demigods. Demigods will completely suck you out, seeing your weakness. Why? Because anyoso anyamahamasti. That you are seeing separately from the truth. That's what will happen. In other words, that unless we realize the truth, what it is, and we become that truth, there is no escape route. We will continue to suffer in this world. So, dukkasyando bhavishyadi atmavidya sa idam sarvam bhavadi. So, dukkasyando bhavishyadi. All distress comes to an end when atmavid, when he realizes the self. Ya sa idam sarvam bhavadi. Brihadaranya Upanishad says, everything happens at that stage. Shvetashvatara Upanishad says, yada charmavat agasham. That just like the sky is like a skin which is spread all around, in the same way you become your realization in that state, like the sky. So, like that there are so many statements in the Upanishads. So, so ajnani or ignorant person, he becomes fearful. That's one thing. Secondly, he is completely absorbed in the ignorance. And also, one who knows Brahman, he becomes Brahman. And one who thinks that I am separated from Brahman all the time, that person, he does not know anything, because the demigods will, other devadas will completely exploit him in that way. And this is one set of sutram about the those who are in the avidya state. Similarly, there are similar sutras about those who are realized the truth, one who has got the atmavidya. So, smṛdayacha ajñāna, that is in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see in the fifth chapter, 15th verse, Krishna is saying, ajñāna enāvṛtam jñānam tena muhyanti jantava. There is an important verse there, isn't it? Nādatte kasyacit pāpam na caiva sukṛtam vibhu. Ajñāna enāvṛtam jñānam, 515 I think. 515. Ajñāna enāvṛtam jñānam tena muhyanti jantava. Krishna is saying to us, nādatte kasyacit pāpam na caiva sukṛtam vibhu. Ajnanenavrtam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. If you carry on, Arjuna, he says, you carry this ajnanam with you, there is no hope much. You can't do anything about it. Ajnanenavrtam. That ajnanam is covering, the jnanam is already there inside all of us. But it is covered by that ajnanam. Ajnanenavrtam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. And because of that ajnanam, we are feeling this illusion. Moham. Muhyadi. Muhyadi means illusion, isn't it? Muhyadi. Muhyandi Suraya. Bhagavadam also says the same thing. Isn't it? Tene Brahma Hraya Adhikave Muhyandi Yat Suraya. Then Muhyandi. Muhyandi means this illusion. Why is this illusion? Because of Ajnanam. Ajnanam enavardam jnanam tena Muhyandi Jantava. Ajnanam is the reason. There is nothing else. That Ajnanam must go from inside. Even in the referring to Bhagavad Gita and the Srimal Bhagavatam, you will see when Krishna says to Arjuna, "Idam ഗീതാശാസ്ത്രം ജ്ഞാനം, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ഹി അഡ് പുട്സ് ഇൻ ദ ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം. ആൻഡ് ഈവൻ ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഇൻ ദി ലാസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ കൺക്ലൂഡ്സ് ഹി ഓൾസോ സെയ്സ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് അഗെയിൻ. ഹി സെയ്സ് ദെയർ ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് അതി ഫൈനലി വെയർ ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് അബൌട്ട് ദി how he closes Bhagavad Gita with the same statement. He says to to Arjuna, he says the finally what Krishna asked Arjuna was, if you look into 72 words, kachide dat shrutam partha ത്വയൈക അഗ്രേണ ചേതസ അഗ്രേണ ചേതസ കച്ചേദ് അജ്ഞാനസമോഹം പ്രണഷ്ടസ്തേ ധനഞ്ജയം. ആർ യു ഗോട്ട് റൈഡ് ഓഫ് യുവർ അജ്ഞാനം ഇൻസൈഡ്? ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹൗ കൃഷ്ണ ആസ്ക് ഹിം. ആഫ്റ്റർ സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത, ഹാവ് യു ഗോട്ട് ഫ്രീഡ് ഫ്രം ദി അജ്ഞാനം ഇൻസൈഡ്, അവിദ്യ ഇൻസൈഡ്, ഇഗ്നോറൻസ് ഇൻസൈഡ്? ഹാസ് ദറ്റ് ഗോൺ? ഇസ് ആസ്കിംഗ്. സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ കച്ചിദേത ശ്രുതം പാർത്ഥ യു ഹേർഡ്, ഹാവ് യു ഹേർഡ് എവറിഥിങ്? ഏകാഗ്രേണ മീൻസ് വിത്ത് ഫുള്ളി ഫോക്കസ്ഡ്. ഹവ് യു ഹേർഡ് ദിസ് വാട്ട് ഐ ഹവ് സ്പോക്കൺ? ആൻഡ് കച്ചിത് അജ്ഞാന സമോഹം, ഹവ് യു ഗോട്ട് ഫ്രീഡ് യുവർ സെൽഫ് ഫ്രം ദി അവിദ്യ? അജ്ഞാനം ഇൻസൈഡ്. പ്രണഷ്ടസ്തേ ധനഞ്ജയ, ഹി സേസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ ഇൻ ദ വേർഡ് 70 യു ക്യാൻ സീ അഗെയിൻ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് അദ്ദേശ്യതേ ച ഈമം ധർമ്മ്യം സംവാദമാവയോ ജ്ഞാനയജ്ഞേന തേനാഹം ഇഷ്ടസ്യാം ഇതി മേ മതി. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് കോൺവെർസേഷൻ ബിറ്റ്വീൻ യു ആൻഡ് മീ, അദ്ദേശ്യതേ ച ഈമം ധർമ്മ്യം സംവാദം, ദിസ് സംവാദം ബിറ്റ്വീൻ അർജുന ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ്, കൃഷ്ണ കോൾസ് ഇറ്റ് എസ് ജ്ഞാനയജ്ഞം. ജ്ഞാനയജ്ഞേന തേനാഹം ഇഷ്ടസ്യാം ഇതി മേ മതി. മൈ ഒപ്പീനിയൻ, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇഫ് ഹി സ്റ്റഡീസ് ദിസ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത, ഹി ഈസ് വേർഷിപ്പിംഗ് മീ through the sacrifice of knowledge, which is a jnana yajnyam, he calls it. It's a yajnyam. Yajnyam is what is expected from us, isn't it? Like jnana yajnyam, chanting holy name is japa yajnyam. Bhagavad Gita, studying Bhagavad Gita is jnana yajnyam. That's how Krishna calls that. So everywhere you will see this, that Krishna referring to that, that ajnana urdham jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. And again, Krishna says in the same chapter, 19th verse, 5th chapter, 19th verse, Ihaiva derjidas sargo yesha samyastidam manaha, isn't it? 19th verse, in that same chapter. Ihaiva derjidas sargo yesha samyastidam manaha. That if this knowledge has gone inside, what will happen to that person? He has made it here itself. Ihaiva derjidas sargam. He has got come out of that repeated cycle of birth and death. He has escaped from the process of birth and death. Ihaiva derjita sargam, right here. Yasham samyasthitam mana, Krishna says there in that. And in the same chapter, in this 13th chapter, later on you will see, if you look into the verse 28, you will see another statement like that from Krishna. Krishna is saying that 28th verse, what is that? Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahinasi alpana alpanam tatoyadi param gadim. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra, that is that state. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahinasi alpana alpanam tatoyadi param gadim. That when you see Krishna present in everyone equally, and then nahinasti alpana alpanam, he doesn't give any more pain to himself. Tato yadi parangadim. So he will reach that final destination. All these things are there in the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads also to mention this. So basically Krishna is saying, knowledge is there in everybody because the soul is there. Krishna is there. That means the knowledge is there inside. But it is covered with the ignorance. It's covered with ignorance. And therefore, Everywhere the statement is, because of the ignorance, we are wandering around in this world without any clear clarity inside, always in an illusion state. So, so in the, when it is mentioned like that, so a realized soul, what he does is that he is careful not to get trapped in that illusion forever. He wants to free himself from that illusion. Just like they give the example that if there is a snake, you will make sure that you don't trample on the snake. Or a stone which is very hard or very sharp, you don't put your feet on top of that. Or if you find that there is a well which you are not noticeable, you will be careful not to go and fall into the well. In a similarly, a realized soul, he will always be alert inside, not to be driven by the world. Always these words of Bhagavad Gita will be constantly working inside that person. Whereas an ordinary person who has no knowledge, he will go and jump into everything without any difficulty, and he will get himself lost in that process. So, and how it is mentioned here, that Dehadishu Atma Buddhi, one who has got identification with the body, he, for him, dharmam adharmam doesn't exist in life, isn't it? Dharmam adharmam doesn't exist for him. And he will do both. Sometimes he will do dharmikam, sometimes he will do adharmic activity. And the result is that he will take birth and he will die. See, this both things are troublesome. Pious activity and sinful activity, both are trouble. We shouldn't think that pious activity is always better. No, pious activity also has got its problem. Sinful activity also has its problem. So, result is that it will give you birth and death again. Birth and death again. So, but one who is released, freed himself from the ragadvesham, attachment and aversion, and that person, whatever activities he is performing in this world, it will not be under the umbrella of dharmam or adharmam, because there is no ragadvesham. Ragadvesham makes your karmam dharmam adharmam. Is it not? Dharmam adharmam is based on the ragadvesham in a person. If your karmam is without ragam, without dvesham, it is actually what Krishna calls it as akarmam. It is. That means karmam is happening through the body, but it has no impact in you, in your subtle body. It's not creating any vasanas, it's not creating kartrutva, bhoktrutva, nothing. So, so nobody can deny, and such a person, he will get released. Externally you may look at it and start making decision about that he has got ragat, dharmam, adharmam and all that. But because it's not touching inside, he gets released from that. So, similarly, just like body, we are thinking the self, isn't it? Body, we are thinking about the body as the self. It is a similar way with this dharmam, adharmam and ragadvesham, karmam, everything. That as much as you are identifying with the body, and then your activities also based on ajnanam then. Upadhi bhedam, isn't it? Upadhi bhedam means that the due to the upadhis inside, body, mind, intelligence and all of them. And because of the upadhis presence there, due to ajnanam we are thinking that Krishna inside has got the material existence, is in bondage. That's how we think, isn't it? Just like we identify with the body. Equally, in the same ignorance, we thinking, because of this, we thinking, I am also under bondage. I am also under bondage. And I am in ignorance. We say this to others, isn't it? That I am an ignorant person. Well, sometimes people say, I am in ignorance. I am not in knowledge. I am in ignorance, we say. But that statement has no meaning, because that is in relationship with the subtle body, and but nothing to do with the self. So equally, just due to this avidya inside, ajnanam inside, that we misunderstand the body as the self. Misunderstand the body as the self. So because of upadhi, That is Upadhi's fault, isn't it? That is what Upadhi does. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, all these are Upadhis in us. Due to differences in the Upadhi, Upadhi is different for everybody, isn't it? Body is different, everyone's body is different. The self is not different, it's the same in everyone. Consciousness is the same in everyone. But due to the Upadhi Bhedam, some people feel that I am in bondage, some people feel I am not in bondage. But that is due to the Upadhi Bhedam, not due to the self. It is due to Upadhi Bhedam that one who is freed himself from the, due to cultivation of spiritual life, who is freed from the subtle body, that person's Upadhis may be there, but in experience, he is in a liberated state, Jivan Mukta state, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here that when you see a post, for example, or a pillar or a post, we misunderstand that post as a person standing there. Like we gave the example that in a dark night, probably for example, if you are driving through a road which there is no human life anywhere nearby, and suddenly you saw a white post standing there, electric post or whatever, painted white, and from distance when you looked at it, you thought there is somebody standing there, isn't it? Yeah. Ghost and post example, that's the what they call it, like Raju Sarpam, that same similar way. Raju and Sarpam, the rope and the snake, similarly ghost and the post. You thought it is a ghost and this person is passing through and suddenly some memory came to you, a few months ago somebody committed suicide there. So that was enough, and it's the middle of the night, there's nobody around. In the village this can happen, in the countryside when you travel. Not in the London city, it won't happen. So you can see that what happens, the ghost is created, he's standing there, and then this person thought that I have to escape, so he looked for around and he found a lot of stones there. He took all of them and started throwing at them. And because he was nervous, whenever he was throwing, was not hitting the post. It was going this side, that side. Finally, one stone, what he threw, went and hit the post. And at that time the noise came from the post. And then he got a big relief. He realized that, oh, there was a post there before. I was thinking about the post. Only when it created the noise you came to your senses, isn't it? So similarly, so here, when you realize that it is a post, then you realize that all the qualities, defects or the impurities in you, like lust, anger, greed and everything, it doesn't exist in the post. It's only exist in you. But before you realized it was the post, what were you thinking about the post? You are thinking, there's a person standing there, he's ready to attack me, and I have to be careful, I have to defend myself against him. All misunderstanding at that time, isn't it? As soon as you saw it was a post, that misunderstanding completely gone from inside. Similarly, all the impurities and qualities of the body we are imposing on the soul, on the self, and also the qualities of the self does not come to the body either. This misunderstanding inside. Self is independent, it has nothing to do with the body. But what's happening is, we are imposing all the problems of the body, like birth, death, old age, disease, everything, on the self. And qualities of the self, sometimes we impose on the body also. That is the confusion, that is called the moham, illusion Krishna is talking about. That means that qualities of the Atma is what? Truth, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. We are expecting that from this body, but it's not possible. We are expecting that from the body. That means we are imposing those qualities on the body. That's what we are doing. So qualities of the body we are imposing on the self, qualities of the self we are imposing on the body. So all this has to be cleared up. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, for example, happiness, distress, illusion, all these things does not have anything to do with the soul. Equally, old age, disease, death and all has nothing to do with the soul. Is it not? Old age, disease and death has nothing to do with the soul. It is all imposed qualities they are on the soul. Call Saul, Saul has nothing to do with any of these things. That is the argument. So against this, the argument is they are not correct. That's how it is. This is called Purvapaksham. Remember I mentioned this. They put it like this, Purvapaksham, Uttaravaksham. Purvapaksham means all the arguments from the world. And Uttaravaksham means answers from the Shastram. Purvapaksham is the argument from the world, from the people. Uttaravaksham is the answer from the world. So Purvapaksham says, this is not correct because this example is not correct. Both the pillar and the person is known. It's a known object, isn't it? And due to ajnanam, due to ignorance, I'm imposing my ignorance on the post and I'm having problem because of that. This is argument from the world, isn't it? But soul is not like that. Soul, what is the difference? Soul is that soul has got a capacity to know things, isn't it? Soul has got a capacity, and body is a object which is known by the soul. So body cannot know the soul, soul can know the body, is it not? Soul has got the capacity to understand the body, but body has no capacity to understand the soul. Body has no capacity to understand the soul. So therefore they are saying that this example is not correct. If you give the example of the ghost and the post, that doesn't match very much with the reality inside. Reality is the soul and the body are two different nature. Soul can know the body, body cannot know the soul. So perfectly it is not an ideal example between the post and the ghost. The post and the body. And what you are explaining here. Because their gunams are different. That is why. So therefore this example is not correct. The gunam of the soul and the gunam of the body is not the same as the gunam of the body and the gunam of the post. Gunam of the post. So therefore it is not correct. That is the argument. Because if it is like that, if you compare this, the soul has no living power, consciousness inside, and it will come like a jadam. It will become like a jadam thing, isn't it? Like the post is a jadam, dead matter. You have to treat soul like a dead matter then, isn't it? And deham, material body, has its qualities like happiness, distress, illusion, desire. All these things, if you start saying that they are all the present in the soul, then the kshetram, which is the body, some of the qualities of this body you will start imposing on the soul, but then you will have to also explain at that time the old age, death, these things does not happen to the soul. And you'll have to give the reasons for that also. It gets more complicated then, isn't it? This is the way they explain this, that the when you give the examples also, you have to remember this one thing, that the soul has its own nature and its own qualities, which so only soul has got it. Nobody else has got it. So therefore, when you bring examples from the world, it won't perfectly match with it. Because soul is so independent in everything, isn't it? So, so therefore, on the same basis, tatra evam sadi kartrutva bhoktrutva lakshanaha samsaro jnayastu jnadri avidhyam adhyarobidam iti na tena jnadu kinjil dushyati. In a similar way, that I am getting the results, these things cannot be given to the soul. And if you are imposing that on the soul, it is due to ajnanam, due to avidya or ignorance, that you are imposing your kartrutvam on the soul, on the self. Soul is independent. Soul has no kartrutvam. Finally, you will see when you keep on going through, you will get more and more clear inside that soul is a completely free entity on which we have, due to ajnanam, put everything on it and suffering from that. That's what it is. Basically, Krishna is saying here. So, by imposing anything on the soul, soul is not losing anything, any of its shining nature. It's always illuminating, isn't it? So, that is the way it is. That clarity inside is necessary. So, although Krishna is present in all the bodies, isn't it? Even the dog, cat, or other living entities. Still, material existence has no impact on, cannot touch Krishna. So, but due to ajnanam, avidya inside, when we are in the conditioned state, we are imposing everything on that body. For example, we will see different animals different ways. Dogs, cats, or cows, bulls, horses, and everything. And we start saying that, oh, it's a dogish mentality. He's a swine, or he's a snake, something like that. In other words, what are we doing there? Not recognizing that Krishna is inside that snake also. Krishna is inside that dog and cat also. But due to my ajnanam inside, I am imposing, superimposing all these bad things on the different bodies. That's what we are doing, is it not? And this is true because when we don't understand it this way, all the stories in the Bhagavatam and all won't make any sense. For example, if you start thinking Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Shishubala and Dandavaktra and all that, that they are those bodies, if you start taking like that, that is why we are imposing all these things on them, is it not? But you can see Shishubala and Dandavaktra managed to come out of this long ago and they have gone. Or even for that matter, Kamsa or Ravana, whoever it is, isn't it? So, our ajnanam is the whole thing driving us. If it is driven by knowledge, it won't be in the same situation. So, because of it is like that, so it does not do any damage to Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu or to Ravana or Kumbhakarna or to Kamsa or Shishubala. It has not done any damage to them. This is the proof that it is not permanent. In them it's not happening, it's happened in their subtle body. And that subtle body, when they shed, that's over. The matter is over there. There's no more further discussing about them. Okay, in our Shastra, studying Puranam, you will get these characters. We want to identify with the right and not the wrong. So we will question Kamsa, we will question Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and all that. But when you come to the truth, you can see that at some point in time, you have to leave that behind also. So, yattu uktam na samo drishtandam idi tad asat. So this example which was given, that the post and the human body is not fully justifiable. So, Puravaksham is saying, how is that possible? He says, avidya adhyasa matram ki drishtandam Andar darshtam andigayo sadharmam vivakshitam. So, the only difference is this. The Bhagavad Gita's conclusion is that due to ajnanam in me, avidya in me, that is the only thing what is causing all this problem. If I come get rid of that ajnanam, or in other words, if realization happens to me, then I will not impose anything on the soul after that. There will be no more imposition, anything. And so actually the problem is, the understanding has to be like this. Soul doesn't have any problem. It's completely independent and completely blissful, full of knowledge and eternal. The problem is, I impose things on the soul. That is where the problem is. My impositioning of my ignorance on the soul. Birth, death, old age, disease, and distress, happiness. This is all imposed things on the soul. Soul on its own has none of these. None of these things. So it is, that is called ajnanam, and that ajnanam has to be taken out. That's the only way to come out of this. This is the argument behind it. So, because, next one, he says, avidyavatval kshetrajnasya samsaritvam iti ched. Purvapaksham is it. This is question from the world. Is, if you say like that, that Kshetrajna has avidya inside, that means he should also have samsaritva, material existence. Avidya, if you say that he is in ignorance, who Kshetrajna inside is in ignorance, that means he also has got material existence with that. isn't it? That question will come. The answer to that is no, it is not. Avidya is the nature of tamasagunam, tamas tamogunam. Tamogunam creates the avidya. And all it does is, it covers the reality. Just like in deep sleep state, that's what happens. Tamogunam comes in and it puts a big coverage on our self. There is no body there, there is no mind there, there is no intelligence there, not even there is no ego there. None of them are there. Still you don't have the truth. You are not realizing the truth. Why? Because tamogunam has put a veil on top at that point. Similarly, what happens here is, avidya creates one issue at this moment, that it creates some doubts inside. That's what it has done. Avidya inside, what it has done, it has created doubt in me and kept the truth away from me. That's what the mind does, isn't it? Mind does a good job of that. It creates doubts inside all the time and keeps you away from the truth all the time. So, as soon as the proper knowledge comes inside, all the knowledge of the self, it comes inside, that avidya, which is of tamasic nature, that gets destroyed once the knowledge comes inside. So, just like when you have this cataract, they give the example also in the Shastram. When you have the cataract inside, he says, Vivegam viparita graha avaranatmagatvad na avidyayam tamasatvad tamasohi prateham avaranatmagatvad avidya viparita grahagam samshayam upasthapakova agrahanatmagova vivega prakashabhave tad abhavad tamasecha avaranatmage timiradi doshe sati agrahanade avidyatrayasya upalabdhe. Let's explain that. This viveka prakashabhave tad abhavad. In other words, when the proper discrimination comes inside a person, what will happen? Tamaseja avaranatmagam. Tamogunam has created a coverage. Avaranatmagam. That is, tamogunam does that. That goes away when the illumination happens. Timiradi doshe sadi agrahanade. Agrahanam. Two things. Agrahanam, anyadagrahanam. Agrahanam means not seeing something properly. Anyada grahanam is seeing that thing as something different. Just like we give the example that the rope is lying there, not seeing the rope, but it is something else, seeing that something else. But instead of seeing something else, you are seeing it as snake. So not seeing the rope is called agrahanam, and seeing it as snake is anyada grahanam. That is the way it is. Not seeing it as rope is agrahanam. Instead of seeing it as instead of seeing it as snake is called anyadagrahanam. So this anyadagrahanam and agrahanam both goes away, and avidyatrayasya upalabdha. This is all happens due to the realization of the self. All happens at the same time. All the three things. Just like they say, when you have cataract, you have a lot of things happens, isn't it? Your vision goes blur, then you start seeing things in two. Those who had cataract, you will know that. I had, so I'm telling you full confidence. For operation, you start seeing things, everything in two. And then you start also seeing that the a blur in the vision. And it also changes with the light. With the light also it changes. That sometimes you see in the summer time you find different difficulty. Because throughout the winter it was dark and the eyes got used to that, and when the whole suddenly sunshine comes, you find it's a different world altogether. All due to this cataract. But when the operation does and that blurring, coverage is removed, then it comes back to the normal state. So, atra aha evam tarahi jnata dharmam avidya. So, if it is like that, Purvaksham again says, if it is like that, Ajnanam will naturally become a nature of the Kshetrajnam, is it not? Question comes. Ajnanam can become a nature of the Kshetrajnam. They are continuously, counteracting the arguments from the world. So, no, the answer is like this. Timiram means this cataract is for the eye. You see, this is a problem when you give examples. You have to remember, when you start imposing that on the example onto the soul, they don't work very well. But that's the closest to what you can get. He says, cataract is for the eye, not for Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna doesn't have cataract, isn't it? But you are thinking that ajnanam, ignorance, is the dharmam of the soul. You are thinking like that. And that is why you are saying that it is subjected to material existence. Actually, it has no material existence. That is what that verse is saying. Bandho mukta idivyakya gunadome na vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshana bandhanam. Krishna has made it ample clear in that chapter, 12th or 13th chapter, I don't know, in the 11th canto, that bandham mukta idivyakya gunadome na vastuda. In reality, Uddhava, there is no such thing as bondage or liberation. It doesn't exist. After talking so much about bondage and liberation, finally Krishna says there is no such thing called bondage and liberation. Gunasya maya mulatval. Because what we are fighting against is actually we are fighting maya. We are fighting maya. That is what it is all about. Name moksha on the bandhanam. There is no bondage, there is no liberation. Similarly, here because when you bring this example, this problem, that a cataract is for the eye. Similarly, we are saying ignorance is in the soul. They say that won't match. Because soul has never ignorance any time. So that example won't work. So similarly, the eye, when it sees something, when you have cataract, you will misunderstand things. You won't see it clearly due to the vision, blurred vision. But here that is not happening. That is not happening. And that kind of cataract doesn't happen to the Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna doesn't get any cataract. when the eye sees something and it gets a wrong image of that object inside, it has happened to the eye but not to the person inside, isn't it? When we see something with our eyes with cataract, you don't go and act on that straight away because you know that your eyes are having cataract. Therefore, what you are seeing is not correct. So, what does it show? It shows that inside me, I don't doubt my own eyes because of the cataract. Is it not? But here you can see that Krishna inside, Kshetrajna inside, and he does not have any impact of the problems of the upadhis, problems of the body or problems of the world, whatever that happens here. So, actually it's only happening to the senses, isn't it? The defect is only in the sense, not in the self. So, the same thing. So, everything is subjected to knowledge. Everything is subjected to knowledge. So, in other words, what it means is that the one who knows about it, it is not his dharmam. His not dharmam, it is happening in the senses. It's happening in the body, is it not? In the senses and in the body, all these problems are happening. If you give an example like, they give another example, a lamp is burning. Lamp is burning. Now, light that comes from the lamp is not a characteristic of the lamp. The light is coming from the fire or what is burning there, isn't it? So, in a similar way, because between the light and the source, there is a medium, which is this lamp. But mistakenly, we think it's coming from the lamp. For example, now the light is burning. Now, the light is not nothing to do with the lamp, actually. It's the electricity that is producing that light. Only thing is, you have managed to put it through various processes, is it not? Similarly, everything is electricity, whether it comes through the fridge, which creates the heat or the cold conditions, or when it comes through another gadget, it comes in another form that's capable of creating sound, CD or CD player or whatever. So, in all these things, misunderstanding is always that instrument is doing it, but actually, who is doing that? The force behind that is the electricity behind it. So, similarly, but the medium is always there in between. So, But everybody agrees with one thing, whether it is Advaiti or Dvaiti or anyone, they agree on one thing, that once you have freed yourself from the senses and the mind, then that state, ignorance won't be there. Once you have come out of the influence of the senses and the mind, then ignorance is not there anymore. Ignorance is only present when you are under the grip of the senses and the mind. Senses of the mind. Just like heat cannot be separated from the fire, from Agni, you cannot separate the heat. Similarly, Kshetrajnan inside, he is always with knowledge. Knowledge is the soul. Soul is knowledge. Is it not? Remember in the Bhagavatam? That vadandi dat tattvavidam tattvam, that tattvam, what is that? Yel jnanam. It is knowledge it is. So knowledge is how you identify the soul. Just like heat cannot be taken away from the fire, knowledge cannot be taken away from the soul. Soul is always full of knowledge, isn't it? Satta, chitta, anandam. So that you can't separate it out. You can't see it separately from that. That is what it is. So avikrayasya cha vomavat sarvagadasya amurtasya atmanam kenachit samyoga viyogam upavate siddham kshetrajnasya nityam eva isharatvam. In other words, that soul which is present in everywhere, in everything, like the sky, it has no connection with anything, just like the sky. To make this understand the soul, what it is, that is why these examples taken. That so many examples, if you study, what will happen is, you will get a reasonable understanding of the nature of the soul. Like the sky, it is present everywhere, but it has no connection anywhere with anything. And it also never gets separated from anything. Therefore, this nature of Ishwaratvam, Ishwaratvam means this controlling nature, is eternally present in the soul, in Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna has got this nature in him. You cannot separate it out. That is why as Antaryami inside, he controls our life. Isn't it? He controls our life in the form of Antaryami. That is that Ishwaratvam, controller. That is in him. It is, it is ingrained in him. You can't separate it out like the heat and the light from the fire. You cannot remove the heat from the fire. Similarly, that nature of Ishwaratvam, controlling nature, is in the Antaryami, in the soul, in Krishna, always present. That cannot be taken out. And to prove, and that is why, then the argument will come, Ishwara is eternal and Ishwara has no gunam in him. If you look into the same chapter, 31st verse, you will see, Anadityal Nirgunatval, about the soul Krishna is saying there. Isn't it? 31. So, these are the things. Anadityal Nirgunatval, Paramatmayam Avyayaha, Sharirastobi Kaundeya, Na Karodi, Na Lipyade. Another logical argument. Krishna is saying here, Anadityal Nirgunatval is Anadi, but at the same time is Nirgunam. Is Nirgunam. Anadityal Nirgunatval, Krishna is saying there. And Paramatma, that Antaryami inside, is Avyayam. Krishna uses the word Avyayam. So, because it is Nirgunam, it has no Vyayam, and therefore it is Avyayam. Avyayam means that thing which doesn't get destroyed under any circumstances, never gets destroyed. And he is always Avyayam because he is Nirgunam. Now here you can see that Anadityal Nirguna, Krishna's nature is like that. Ishwara is like that. Anadityal Nirgunatval. In that case, if it is like that, another question comes then, that what is the point in discussing all these things if you are so clear about that? That's all happening for the body, for the mind, for intelligence, and the self is completely free from all these things. And is there necessary to study Shastram then? Even that question is coming up. So, obviously, that if Atma or Ishwara or Krishna, whomever way you address it, who is inside, he doesn't fall into material existence, and he has got all these qualifications, what we have spoken so far, If it is like that, is there a thing called material existence then? And is there a person who is experiencing this material existence? Is it there? And is not all this shastram becomes invalid or void, or it is null, isn't it? So no, it's not like that. Everybody has accepted this thing, one thing, that if the cause, because one person is saying like that, we don't have to accept it, because fact is that I'm experiencing the misery or material existence here. So, and if you ask that, only one person may say this, but majority of the people will say, now this argument is based on logic. The general experience from generally people, if you take a lot of people and ask them, they won't say the same thing. They will say, I am suffering in this world. I am experiencing the misery of this world all the time, in one way or the other. Isn't it? Some form miseries are there, or adhyalpiyam, adhibhautiyam, adhidevigam, miseries we are all experiencing. So it's very difficult to write it off easily like that. So, but answer to that is that muktalpanam samsara samsarityam vyavahara bhavam sarve evaha. In other words, this vyavahara bhavam, in vyavaharam, those who are liberated from this world, that means liberated souls, they have always said that the souls who are liberated, for them there is no material existence. Those who are liberated, then there is no more material existence. And those who are liberated, they never said that shastram is unnecessary. They never said. They always said that shastram is necessary. Till you realize the truth. Once you have realized the truth, then they will still say shastram is necessary, because they know that without the shastram, they wouldn't have got there. They would not have got there. Tathana kshetrajna. So, because if you start identifying kshetrajna and Ishwara together, then shastram becomes unnecessary. And on the other hand, if you say that kshetrajna and Ishwara is different, there is a state of bondage. Isn't it? So, once you come out of that, then the words in the shastram has no meaning anymore. This is the answer to that. Against that, the argument from the world. It says, those who believe in the dualism, they believe that for us, these both are real. That means, Antaryami is always liberated. I am always in bondage. Antaryami is always liberated. I am always in bondage. That is the way I will argue. Because if I see I myself separated from the truth, I will argue in that way. I am suffering. Antaryami has nothing to do. He is always realized. If you take that, so, but but both this bandhavastha and muktavastha, that means this bondage as well as the liberation, is a reality we are experiencing in this world. And some of them to accept some of them and to reject some of them, you require the help of the shastram. So, for example, non-dualism, those who follow the Advaitam, for them, Dvaitam is not a real thing. And they consider that this bondage situation, this is we are talking about the pure Advaita state, that they will not accept that we were in bondage even. Bondage even didn't exist. Of course, that is a very difficult thing in the beginning to accept that there is no such. That is a difficulty. In Ekadasha Skandam also, when Krishna says there is no bondage, there is no liberation, it throws you off from the whole process, isn't it? But that is only possible for very, very advanced persons who are in a very highly realized state. It is for them that is spoken. But that is the truth. That is also there. The truth is there. But to get that state, it's a long way to go. So, then the question comes here that Dvaitam, which every one of us are in the Dvaitam state, isn't it? Identification with the body means Dvaitam. So, Dvaitavadam is will not be able to adjust with that when you are in the Dvaitam state. Because this bondage of Kshetrajnam or Ishvara or Atma, and this bandham is coming from Ajnanam. It's coming from Ajnanam. Vastu is only one. But why did it happen manifest like this in two or three forms to us? Like some people, there's no two, there's three, they're saying. So this has happened because of Ajnanam inside. So in reality, Atma or the soul does not require any of these things. On its own, it can stand without any of our support for that. It's completely free from everything. So if you put it like that, if you take that position, then the question says that Atma does not have two states. For example, bondage and liberation. And if it happens, can that both happen at the same time? This is another question. That can bondage and liberation exist at the same time in a person? Uddhava also asked the same question. In the Bhagavatam you will see. This is coming from there. So, or does that happen gradually? Does that happen gradually? Just like if you have a glass half empty, half full. So as you keep pouring, it gets full and it becomes less empty, isn't it? So similarly, what happens? Is it half full, half empty like that? This question, I mean, with the knowledge as far as the bondage and liberation is concerned. That's the question. So answer is that a vastu, an object, it cannot stay in one place and at the same time to move. It cannot do that, isn't it? It cannot stay in one place and at the same time it keep moving. So these two things cannot happen at the same time in one object. Staying in one place and moving at the same time. That's not possible. Similarly, bondage and liberation cannot exist at the same time. So this concept what we have, that today I am in bondage, I am going to get liberated some other time, is also false. We were never in bondage and we were never liberated either. It's always a liberated state. That state is beyond the three states of what we call as the bandham mukti. Both states doesn't exist. Soul is totally independent. So when you go through all these things, you can understand basically the problem is the ajnanam. Avidya inside is the problem. That's what's causing all this turmoil inside. So if then the other question is, if there is no bondage, there is no liberation, isn't it? If we know that we are bondage and liberation, we are thinking, most of us who are in the spiritual life, what do we think? We think, I am in bondage, I want to get liberated one day. It is on those lines we are doing everything, isn't it? In that understanding. So if you accept that I'm at the moment in bondage, but I'm likely to get liberated one day. If you take like that, Krishna's that statement also will become invalid. Statement will also become invalid. Not only that, first, there's more problems to that. If you think that, first you got in bondage, and then you got liberated. If you think it like that, so then what will happen? Krishna has spoken later, anadithwal, you are eternally liberated, he says. So how did this bondage come then? That question will come, and therefore that state of bondage is eternal, it comes. That means, is it that somewhere in between it caught you in bondage, it brought you into the bondage? And it also means that at some point in time that bondage is gone. Anything that is coming and going is not real. That is the principle. And if you think that bondage has come to you at some point and it will leave you at some point, that means it has come and it has gone. If it is like that, that is not the truth. That is not truth. So, so on the other hand, if you start thinking you are liberated once and it is always you are in a liberated state, that will also cause problems. It is a very difficult thing, this Bhagavad Gita's verses are too complex to get a clear understanding. This is why I'm saying that only through realization this knowledge will become, take some shape inside us. Theoretically you can study it for a long time with all the arguments what they have gone for and against that. So if you say like this, that these two states exist, bondage and liberation, and it is going from one state to another, that means your other statement goes wrong. What is that statement? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Nityam it is. Eternal it is, isn't it? And its eternity is lost then. It's not eternal anymore. If you start thinking that bondage and liberation, if you start bringing into it, then its eternal nature has lost. It has lost its eternal position, isn't it? Now if you say that this temporary nature, which is means anityada, anityada means this temporary nature, in order to get rid of that from the soul, if you say that bondage and liberation does not exist in the soul, then the problem comes that Shastram, what for then? That argument will come, isn't it? So this problem is there in studying this, and that is a problem in Dvaitam. And if you go in that Dvaitam direction, Advaitis won't accept because of this. Because of this. So, other question is, Shastram, who is doubting Shastram? Who doubts Shastram? Shastram is for those who are in ignorance. Is it not? Those who are not in ignorance. So rather than saying in bondage and liberation, right thing to say is a knowledge or in ignorance. Jnani or Ajnani, that is the right word to say. Ajnani needs a Shastram, Jnani doesn't need Shastram. Jnani doesn't need Shastram. So, Jnani is not affected by any of those things. So, similarly, Karmam, the result of Karmam, Karma Bhalam, and the cause of that Karmam, they are completely different from the soul. Is it not? Now, Krishna brings karmam into it. Why? Because if you remember in that fifth chapter itself, Krishna mentions that, isn't it? Na karma bhalasam yogam subhavastu pravartade. There is a verse there. He says that that was a very important statement Krishna made there in that chapter. Na karma bhalasam yogam, I forget the beginning of that verse, Krishna is saying that Nakarma bhalasam yogam sobhavastu pravartade. Which is 14? Verse 14? 5:14, yeah. Yeah. Nakartrutvam. There is no karma performed by the self. Na karmani, is not doing any karma either. Logasya srajati prabhu. Ajnani na karma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. Krishna is saying. So, there Krishna has made that statement in the fifth chapter. What did he say? He said that na kartutvam. So, where is kartutvam then? That's the question, isn't it? Where is kartutvam? That question comes. Na kartutvam, na karmani, Logasya Srajati Prabhu. Krishna is saying there. So, constantly studying Bhagavad Gita will make this clear to us that things what I am trying to get rid of is actually not in me. It is my ajnanam that I am trying to get out, get rid of from inside. They are not in me. Na kartrutvam, na karmani. Krishna is saying, Logasya Srajati Prabhu. Ajnanenavritam. Then he says there, na karma phalasam yogam. So, just like we talked about the kartrutvam karmam here now, just like we spoke about jnanam ajnanam before, kartrutvam karma phalam also is in the subtle body, not in the soul. Na karma phalasam yogam. Why? Svabhavastu pravartade. It is in the svabhavam of the person that karmam, phalam, all this is in the svabhavam. Which means, this can be got rid of. It is possible to. If it is in the soul, you can't do anything about it. Because it is in the subtle body, it can be removed. It can be removed. That is the argument behind that. Shastram is very good that way. It will explain to you in such a way that we sometimes when you have some understanding that kartrutvam is wrong, karma bhalam expectation results is wrong, because why? They create ragadvesham, isn't it? So Krishna said that in the beginning, ragadvesham vimuktaistu, you have to free yourself from ragadvesham. But then day after day we are engaged in karmam, and we are thinking that it's very difficult to do it, that kartrutvam without bhoktrutvam. Vyaharam particularly not possible, we say like that, isn't it? So then that is where this understanding is necessary. That Krishna is saying, that may be so, but it's not in you. It is in your subtle body, and therefore it is possible to get rid of it. That is the answer. Na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. Krishna is saying, it is his svabhavam, and svabhavam can be changed. If it is in the Atma, nothing can be done about it. In Atma, what is present in the Atma is what? Atma is only, always eternal. No bondage, no liberation. Full of bliss and full of knowledge it is. Anandam Brahmam, isn't it? Anandam is the nature of the soul. So, practically you can see, inside us, with the soul, there is nothing to be done. It's all to work with this subtle body inside. That's where sadhana comes. That's where the sadhana comes. So, coming back to this verse, Krishna is saying here, that vidusham hi balahe dibhyam. As far as the realized soul is concerned, both activity, karmam and its result, is independent. Is independent. And they don't want to mix the soul with the work, with the karmam. They don't want to mix these two things together. So, nobody will say that the water and the fire and the light and the shadow, nobody will say it's all the same. They are different, isn't it? Similarly, we are talking about the people who have some proper intelligence. They will say like that. So, Shastram will say, do this and don't do this. Shastra, vidhi nishedam. Shastram will say like that. But, Jnani, who has realized the truth, one who has knowledge and who has realized the truth, for he knows that why Shastram says to us like this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, vidhi nishedam, do's and don'ts, isn't it? Why Shastram says to us that? Because in our present state, we have to be told what to do and what not to do. Otherwise, what they're saying is that if you do certain things, it'll create more ragadvesham. Certain things will take you out of this conditioned state. Therefore, karmam divided into karmam, akarmam, vikarmam and all that. Is it not? And we have been told you should do karmam and you should make it as a karma yogam. You should not do vikarmam and you should not be doing akarmam. All these things, injunctions there in the shastram. But for a jnani, they don't apply. Why? Because he is not linking the karmam and bhalam together with the self. Neither karmam nor the results of the karma, he links that with the self inside. Because he is in the state of the realized state of the self, in the jnani state. So that is why mentions here, so jnanis are not bound by do's, don'ts, for this reason. They are not bound by that. Because whatever that happens through that body, jnani's body, nothing will be make any mark inside, number one. Whatever karmam that comes through that body will always be for the good of the world. It will never be for the... Because he hasn't got that ragadosham inside, no vasanas inside. So, at that point in time, it's not he is doing anymore, Krishna is doing everything through that body. You see? Because Krishna is doing everything through that body, it will be always for the good of the world. That's how you have to see the realized personality. This is how you understand the realized person. We are looking for somebody else telling us how many people are realized, who are all realized. We make a big advertisement about a realized soul, a lot of people will follow saying that. That's not how you see it. You have to see these through these space statements, like in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to us that the that karmam, karma phalam, will have no impact on the jnani. Because, why? Because he knows that the self is independent of karmam and karma phalam. That's why earlier itself, in the fifth chapter itself, Krishna has mentioned that na karma phala samyogam, all it is svabhavam, svabhavastu pravartate. earlier in the Bhagavatam, you will also notice, if a person is very heroic, Krishna is saying, normally what we say, heroic means we will see in the, like in the movies, we say hero and villain, isn't it? Hero, villain, everything in the movie. That is not Krishna's heroism. Krishna says, Swabhava Vijayam Shauryam. He says, if you can beat your Swabhavam inside, if you can beat it, and you can come to the, then you are a hero. That's how Krishna calls him. Swabhava Vijayam Shauryam Satyam Ja Samadarshanam. He says, Satyam, truthfulness is seeing everyone equal all the time. No differences based on the body or any other upadhi. Simply seeing Krishna's equal in everyone, that is Satyam, truthfulness. Our definition of truth is what? Completely different, isn't it? So, Satyam Cha Samadarshanam, Krishna says. That is why in the Bhagavadam, I think it is the 21st or 22nd chapter, Krishna is saying, Swabhava Vijayam Shauryam. You are very hero if you have won over your own Swabhavam, character. In other words, character means, basically what it means is vasanas inside, ragadvesham inside, and all that, you have beaten that, and you have come out successfully in a realized state, then you are a very hero. Krishna calls it as hero, then at that time. So this cause and effect of the karmam, cause and effect of the karmam, soul doesn't want to know why you have done that. When we do certain things in this world, you know, when you do certain things in this world, soul is not interested why you are doing that. It is your vasana who is pushing you to do that, or ragadvesham inside, isn't it? And soul is also not interested what result is going to come from that. This is the beauty of the soul. This is the beauty of the soul. If you want to verify all this, go to deep sleep state. That's the answer. When you go there, there is no doing anything, there is no results anything, and nobody is asking you anything, why you have performed badly, or why you have done it well. Nobody is saying anything to you. That deep sleep state is such a beautiful state that when upadhis goes away, what all happens changes in us. So equally, that this body and the mind, they are busy with the mind and the senses. Body is busy with the mind and the senses. And only this karmam, karma bhalam, or our actions, karmam, and the results of the karmam, all of them are true only as far as the vacant state is concerned. We worry so much about the results of the karma, isn't it? When it hasn't come, we get upset and we make so many, we should have done like that and it would have come out better like this, and we analyze it to such nitty-gritty things. We forget this point, that this one thing called karma and its result has made some meaning only in the vacant state. That is all it is. And that is what he is saying here, that don't go and impose all these things on the soul. Soul is not even asking you what karma you have done and what results you got. Isn't it? They are not asking you. And we foolishly think, keep on identifying. This is all the problems due to the identification with the body. Kshetram kshetrajnyayor jnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. Krishna is saying, when you have knowledge of the kshetrajnyan inside, and the knowledge of the kshetram properly, then that proper knowledge will get us free from this kind of misunderstanding, isn't it? So, then Krishna says, those he mentioned here, aham niyukta iti tatrasto niyogam shrunuan abhi pratipadyade niyoga vishaya vivekagrahanatu upapadyade pratipati tatha balaheto abhi. Only one who knows these things, that he knows the truth. He knows the truth. This person who knows these things, and who lives in this world, in this understanding, he knows the truth. Not the one who is working very hard to get all the results in this world. It's complete ignorance it is. Avidya that is driving behind that work. So, then, argument from the world, Purvapaksham, comes like this. So, this goes on for quite a while. I don't know whether it's boring or... but we'll go through this for the moment anyway. It says that if you have known that karma bhalam, the result of the karmam, and the cause behind it, if it is separate from the soul, as we say, then then why these thoughts are coming? I want the right result. I want the right result. And does a realized soul has the same effect in him? In a natural way, does it happen to him? Because he is also in the body. Does he get these things here? So, just like father and the son, for example. Father, and there are certain things which are applied to the father. Some restrictions on the father. And the children also has to understand there are some restrictions for them as well. Isn't it? No, it is not like that. What says here that before you knew that the karmam, the results that comes from the karmam, before that realization came to you, it was at that time that you thought that they are together. Which one? The soul and the results of the action. You thought that before you have realized the truth. As soon as you understood this from the Shastram, Vidhi Nishedham, all these things, you come to understand that Atma is independent from the results, and also the cause of the results. You remember this verse in the second chapter. Krishna says there, and that's a very interesting statement. Karmanyova adhigaraste na ma baleshu kadachana. There he mentioned na karma balahe durbhur. Don't link these two things, he said. Karma bhalam, karmam and bhalam. Karmam is not the cause of bhalam, he says there. Very difficult to say this to anyone, isn't it? People will not accept it easily. Madhe sangosta karmani. That is the truth actually. Krishna is saying to us that the four principles of karmam, Chatur Sutram they call it. Out of that, the third sutram is this. Na karma balahe durbhur. Karmam is not the cause of bhalam. But people will say, no, I worked so many hours, I put my overtime, I got the results. If I not done my overtime, I won't get the money. That's how they are will bring into vyavaharam in this way. That is in a very gross level. Understanding in a very gross level. If you have that subtlety in life, then you will know your karmam and your bhalam had no relationship. Is it not? So, because you have to ask this question then, that a lot of people are taking lottery ticket. Everybody is not getting it. Why? Equally the logic applies there, isn't it? If everything was based on the karmam, the bhalam, then why only one person got? One person got, everybody didn't get, isn't it? So karmam and karma bhalam has no connection. Krishna has spoken like that before. And before you knew about this no connection between the karmam and karma bhalam, you have this misunderstanding that this results is coming from the soul. Results coming from the soul. So therefore, why this is spoken is that this vidhi nishedham, Shastram, when it talks about vidhi nishedam, it's only for ajnani, it doesn't apply for jnani. All Shastram is only for the ajnani, not for the jnani. Realized person doesn't need Shastram because he is perfected already, he is in the perfection stage. Remember this, that we spoke about this before also. Perfection is not possible in the body. Perfection is not possible in the mind. Perfection is not possible in the intelligence. Perfection is only possible in the self, in the soul. If you try to make this perfect, mind perfect, it will not work. It simply won't work. So those who have reached perfection in the self, they don't need the Shastram. Shastram is only when you are in ajnanam, avidya state. So then the argument comes from the world. Surgagamo yejeda. There are certain statements in the Vedam like this. It says there, one who wants to go to heavenly planets, he should perform sacrifices. And similarly, you should not eat mamsa bhakshanam, in other words, meat and things like that. So, one who knows this difference, these kind of injunctions, one who knows that I am separately from the soul, I am separate from the body, I am the soul, does he need that injunctions? And one who thinks that body and the soul are the same, they also don't need it. So if it is like that, because you can see there, one who realized the truth, self, he doesn't need this injunction, Sorga Gamo Yajeda, or Mamsa Bhakshan, eating the meat, should not be eaten. This kind of injunctions you don't need, because it's there in the Shastra. But the liberated person doesn't need that. And one who thinks the body and the self are the same, he also doesn't need it, because he's thinking he doesn't accept it anyway. So therefore, the answer to that is that Shastram is not to be understood in that way. Shastram is not to be understood that way. One who knows that Krishna is inside and Hiksha has become in the form of Jiva, who is present inside, but he knows the oneness in between the Jiva and the Ishvara, is Brahmajnani, and he does not engage in karma. His activities are not karma anymore, because equally, those who deny the existence of the soul and those who deny the existence of the world after death, both of them is not doing karma in this world according to Shastram. You see, those who don't believe in the world, life after death, or another world where you will be gone, if you don't believe in that, and you also deny the existence of the soul, for them, they don't believe in Shastram either. They don't have to follow the Shastram. So, people, after hearing these do's and don'ts, this is the biggest problem. Although they accept the immortality, the permanent nature of the soul, he accepts that. That is, most of the people are in that state. You will see among the people, if you study very carefully, you will notice, a lot of people accept the presence of the soul. At the same time, because the understanding is very poor, they also take all the vidhinishedham with it. Isn't it? Do's and don'ts also. We want to carry both with us. One side we are accepting the presence of the soul inside. But we don't know the nature of the soul. So what do we do? Due to our swabhavam, we go and pick up all the do's and don'ts with that. And then we do everything, karmam also, with the desiring the results and with selfishness and with a lot of attention into it. With a lot of attention into it. This karma vasana inside is a big disease. It's a rogam it is. Karma vasana is a rogam inside. And there is not much treatment for that. That is why very great personalities, because they know this problem inside, what they will do, they won't tell the person first thing to give up all the karma. Because that vasanas inside is pushing him from so strongly that he will give him some karma to engage in. Let him do it and get rid of it. Karma no karma no haram. It is in the Ajamila story. If you read, you will see there mentioned that. The disease karma has got only one medicine, karma. There is no other medicine for that. Karmana karmanar haram. That is what it says here. So same thing. So then viveginam apravurti darshanat anugaminam apravurto shastra anarthakyam iti chel. In other words, question comes. Viveka means one who got the proper understanding. If they withdraw from karmam, all others in the world also will do the same thing, would they not? In that case, Shastram will become null. It will become void then, is it not? No. The answer from the Shastram, Ajari Swami is saying there, people have got that realization is very, very, very few, he says. So therefore there is no problem, he says. That among the whole human species, those who have got some intelligence, brain, he says there's only very few. And that is true also, isn't it? That's true also. There's no harm in saying that, because you can see that majority, 99.99%, finds it difficult to withdraw from karma. Is it not? Take our own example, 5 minutes to sit, to know that I'm not this body, and to sit quiet, very difficult. But before that, some urge from inside pushing us to do something. And either in the normal people case, they'll go to the monitor or what you call the remote control straight away, start pressing some button. Or somebody else will drive the car away somewhere, go on a holiday or this, that, whatever it is. So many things people do. Why? The urge from inside, that karmam. Karmam is so powerful. That's why he mentions here, such people are so few in this world who have come, got over this problem with the karmam. Therefore, shastram is necessary. Shastram is necessary. So, nacha vivekinam anuvartande mudhaha ragadi dosha tantratva pravartehe abhicharanado cha pravarti darshanat swabhavya cha pravartehe swabhavastu pravartade. Krishna mentions that earlier, isn't it? Swabhavastu pravartade. Swabhavam is a very powerful thing inside. And swabhavam is working. He is not working. His swabhavam is working. Isn't it? All of us are working according to our swabhavam. That is why Krishna was so confident in telling Arjuna, Arjuna, you can try not to, you can throw your weapons and stay quiet here, but your swabhavam won't let you. It will come out and it will work. And you can see this in life wherever you look. You will see this. Their swabhavam will eventually come out. They'll change their clothes, they'll say they are spiritual, this, that and the other. But when the swabhavam starts coming out, you will see the person's real nature in that, how it works. Remember that example? If someone who wants to build a 5-star hotel, if he takes sannyasam, what will he do? He build a 5-star ashram. That's what will happen. You can't do anything about it. That is his swabhavam it is. He has to do it. If he doesn't do it, he won't get sleep. Simple as that. Sannyasam is supposed to be a higher state, isn't it? Where you have come out of all these things. But he hasn't. He hasn't. He's still there inside. And it's coming out one after the other. Name, fame, followers, all these things will come out one after the other. And it will disturb him. Very much so. So if you couldn't do it in the material life, you do it in the spiritual life. That's all it is. But swabhavastu pravartade. Krishna is saying there. Swabhavastu pravartade. Iti uktam. So, svabhavastu pravartade, Krishna says there. So, for this samsara material existence is for ajnani. Ajnani means one who believes things what he sees with his eyes. That is our main problem, isn't it? Those who living in this world, we think this life in this world is the most important thing. To become somebody here is the most important thing. So, Sadashiva Brahmendra says four things. Prayapsa, Chikirsha, like that, four things he mentions there. Basically that I have to become something tomorrow, I have to get something. All these are nothing to do with the soul. It's all the vasana inside is working. So Krishna is saying here, one who believes in this world only, and who believes in only what he sees, for him material existence is there. For him material existence is there. And one who knows the Kshetrajnan inside, for him, there is no ignorance, there is no ajnanam in him, and he will not have the results of all that. So you can see here that as you realize the truth, and as you become, what happens? All activities come to a stop. Body becomes, in a natural way, body, that urge will disappear from inside to act all the time. That acting, urge to act, is coming completely from ignorance to act all the time. But as much as this spiritual understanding builds up inside with what Krishna has spoken here, you can see that urge, automatically it goes away from inside. The difficulty is that we have created all the urge first, now we are trying to wipe it out from the board. That's the problem, most difficult thing. So, also, just like the water in the mirage, far away, it cannot wet the sand there. Similarly, this ajnanam inside us, it cannot do any damage to the kshetrajnan inside. Kshetrajnan will never get upset over that. But Krishna is saying, know me as kshetrajna, Krishna says. Kshetram, kshetrajna yor jnanam. I am the kshetrajna inside. Only thing is, I am covered by ajnanam. Ajnanam is covered there. So, at that time, the question comes. So if it is like that, how come scholars also say, this is mine, I am so and so. All these statements come from the very realized souls also, isn't it? So answer to that is, that kind of scholarship is only on a theoretical basis. In other words, as long as he is not a scholar, as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, till he has not identified with the soul. Remember, we've discussed this before. A scholar is not one who has studied a lot of books or who has acquired a lot of degrees or titles. He's not a scholar for Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita scholar is one who has learned to separate Kshetram and Kshetrajnam, and he has identified with Kshetrajnam. Only then he is a scholar. That is what Krishna's scholar means. Definition of the scholar is concerned. And because only in that state, whatever actions he is doing through that body, that nishkriyatvam comes to him. Nishkriyatvam means that karmam will not cause any impact on the person. In his subtle body, it won't create any more vasanas inside. Only in that state you can say that person is a scholar. Particularly you can say jnani is a scholar. Krishna scholar, I'm talking about. But in the normal mundane life, we call scholar, everybody scholar, we say. So many people we call scholar, but there's nothing more than that. So many people have studied books, Shastram they have studied, and acquired various degrees, and they know a lot of things, but all through the mind and the brain. Nothing has happened inside. So, ajnani or ignorant person who has desire for the results, that person will never stop his karmam. That's a symptom of an ajnani. Symptom of ajnani is that he will continuously act in this world for the sake of results. And the jnani, he knows very well that soul does not act. Soul has no interest in the act. And because of that, he also knows that there is no interest in the results. And in that way, he gets released from all action. All actions. One who has attachment to karmam, one who has attachment to karma bhalam, for him there is only one hope, karma yoga. Krishna says that, isn't it, in the Bhagavadam, when three yoga systems were spoken, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, he said, one who is attached to karmam and one who is attached to karma bhalam, because that urge is so strong inside, for them, Uddhava, he says, karma yogam will work for him, if he makes it as a yoga system. Otherwise, it won't help him. So, similarly, Krishna says here, jnani knows that Atma does not do any work, nishkriyatvam. Atma don't do any work, knowing that he won't have any interest in the results either, and in that way he gets released from all karma. And similarly, in the same way, one who is released from the body and the mind, also in the same state, like jnani it is, isn't it? Once you are released from the body and the mind, then you won't be pulled by karmam anymore. Karmam is a vegam, they call it. Vegam means it's a powerful force that drags you down, drags you into it. And karmam creates karma vasana, karma bandhanam, and then ragadvesham, everything comes from that. There's a whole cycle going one after the other, isn't it? Yeah. Another group of people, for they are knowledgeable people, but for them, Kshetrajna is Ishvara, and they also think that Kshetrajna is Ishvara, but at the same time, I am always experiencing happiness and distress in this world. And he also thinking that ultimately my goal is to free myself from this material existence. In that way, who are living in this world. And he thinks that I will cultivate this knowledge of the Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, and in the meditation everything, and finally I will realize the Kshetrajnan. There is another way of thinking the same thing. So, but if you think in that way, he says you won't become the Kshetrajnan. You won't become the Kshetrajnan. For example, samsaram, material existence, and liberation, and shastram, all these things, if you start making your own interpretation, then he is lowest among the panditas, among the scholars. You have to know this through the sampradayam. Through sampradayam, you have to accept it. You shouldn't give any kind of, because that understanding is coming from the mind, that I'm working towards the goal. That has to go from inside. That's why you can see in spiritual life, we, because of our background from the karmic world, we try to bring the same approach into spiritual life also. And in the spiritual life, we start testing it with our karmic experiences, whether it's working or not, and it doesn't work. And then we get disappointed. That's why sometimes you see people, they go after one guru for some time, they get frustrated, then they say, we'll change now, we'll try another one. And like that, things people are, why they are saying, where is that coming from? It's coming from the experience in the world, in the karmam. So the karmam, in the karmam, what we do, you can't apply to self-realization. In self-realization, it is not a karmic activity. It's a completely spiritual activity, and therefore all these rules in the karmam, karmic world doesn't apply there. That is the principle. So, so that has to be spoken always, otherwise you will mislead others, saying to them that everything is kept in store for you somewhere else, liberation, and one day you will get liberated, and misleading that person, doing like that, he is actually going against the Shruti, against the Vedam, against the Vedic injunctions. So that is where this Sampradayam comes, Sampradayam Parampara comes there. That even if one who rejects this Sampradaya system, Parampara system, even one who knows all the Shastram, he should remove those people who are giving this Ajnanam inside, distributing Ajnanam in this way, Vidya in this way. So when Ishvara becomes identified with the Kshetrajna, it follows naturally that Ishvara experiences material existence, Samsaritvam. And when Kshetrajna joins the Ishvara, he does not be, he is not a samsari anymore. And that is a one kind of a misunderstanding. Because that shows the power of jnanam and ajnanam in a person. Power of jnanam and ajnanam in a person. At that time, the question from the world, Purvapaksham, comes like that. How is that possible? How is that possible? So here the answer is that ajnanam or avidyam, the problem due to that imposed on this, it does not touch the vastu inside. The truthfulness of the soul is not affected by your imposition of the ignorance on that. That's important. The truthfulness of the soul, the soul's true nature, is not affected by whatever you are imposing on the soul in through avidya, through ajnanam. Because samsaram, material existence, if it doesn't have something to experience, you cannot say material existence does exist. In other words, if it's not affecting the soul, soul is independent, isn't it? And because soul is independent, if you keep on saying about material existence, soul is not subjected to material existence. Body and the mind are subject to material existence. And therefore, it is ajnanam, it is avidya, to say that material existence exists as soul is concerned. Material existence doesn't exist for the soul. Adhyatmikam, adhibhautikam, adhidevikam. Three types of material existence is there, isn't it? Now, with whom, in relationship with what is these three? With the body and the mind, not with the self. Again, like karmam, karmabalam, these three things also has nothing to do with the self, only to do with the body and the mind. So when you experiencing samsaritvam, samsaritvam means this experience of material existence is only due to one thing, avidya, ajnanam inside. But at the same time, happiness and distress that's coming from that, you are experiencing directly, isn't it? Experiencing directly. So, answer is no. Everything that you are experiencing directly is a function of the body and the mind. And everything that you are coming from the consciousness is totally independent. Same thing what we talked before many times, isn't it? Anubhavam is only in the soul. Remember this? Anubhavam is only in the soul. And what is the other one? Perception. No, not anubhuti. Anubhuti is only in the soul, anubhavam. And perception, pratiti. Pratiti is in the body. It is equally true here also. Ajnanam is in the body and the mind. Soul is anubhavam. There is no ajnanam there. There is no ajnanam there. That's the point. So that understanding, pratiti and anubhuti, or pratiti and anubhavam, that should be always clear. We talked about that before many times, isn't it? So anubhuti, you should not misunderstand. At the moment what's happening is, some anubhuti what you have, you are misunderstanding it as pratiti. And pratiti you are misunderstanding as anubhuti. That's the problem, isn't it? Everything that comes through the senses mind is all pratiti. And you can only know the world, and the experience of the world is pratiti. But that comes from the anubhuti or anubhavam. Like Gopi said that to Krishna, isn't it? That comes from the soul, that comes from the consciousness. That has nothing to do with the world. So therefore, this ajnanam does not pollute or create any impurities in the soul, because it's not coming from there. It's not coming from there. So so then the question comes, that if the soul has got this problem, ajnanam, and distress everything, how come that if you are saying that, if they are coming from the Atma, because all these arguments have to be looked at in different ways. If it is the dharmam of the Atma, if you think like that, how come that you are experiencing it directly like this? Because how come it become the dharmam of the Kshetrajnan inside? So, and at the same time, all that things what you are experiencing now, all the sense objects and the body, both body and the sense object, all together, they are always together. And the Kshetrajna is what is experiencing all these things. And Kshetrajna is not experiencing, Kshetrajna is knowing about this, isn't it? Kshetrajna knows that the body, Kshetram, and the world all together is an experience in the body, in the Kshetram. All these experiences means perceptions in the Kshetram, it is where it is all happening. And how do you know that if it is all like that, how come the Kshetrajna knows about it? If Kshetrajna is so independent from everything, how come Kshetrajna knows what is going on in the Kshetram? It's a very interesting question, isn't it? So, it will not be any contradicting then. Again, when contradiction comes. Atra ahasa avidya kasya iti yasya drishyate tasya eva. So, actually, this avidya, who has got avidya, you are asking? One who is showing avidya, he has got avidya. One in whom you see avidya, that person has got avidya. But not the soul. That is his svabhavam that is coming out. Kasya drishyate iti. In whom will you find it, this thing? And the answer is that that's a useless question. That's a useless question, because avidya's nature is like that. To see someone, if I have to say somebody has got avidya, I should not have avidya in me. If I have avidya in me, I won't be able to see the avidya in another person, isn't it? Only if I am released from avidya, I can say that somebody is in avidya. That is the way it works. That's the way it works. So, give the example here. Drishyate ched avidya advandam apipashyasi naja tadvadi ubalabhyamane sa kase idi prashno yuktaha nahi gomadi ubalabhyamane gavaha kase idi prashna athavan bhaved. So the question is coming that if you can see the ignorance in a person, if you can see the ignorance in a person, you should be able to see the person also. That is the logic. Their logic, I mean from the argument from the world. If you can see the ignorance in a person, you should be able to see the person also. So, and the question is, suppose you have seen the cow, if you have seen a cow, and if you have seen the owner of the cow, then you don't ask the question whose cow it is. Isn't it? Whose cow it is. Then they are saying, the argument is, the reply for that is, this argument is not, this example is no good. Because cow and the owner of the cow, they are standing in front of us, isn't it? And you don't have to ask the question, what's the connection between the cow and the owner? Cow and the owner. And whereas in the case of the person who has got this avidya inside, he is also, we can't see him. Cow and the owner of the cow, you can see together. But the person who has got the avidya and and the person who has got the avidya and the person, that relationship you have to know. You have to know. Avidyaya anartha hedutva parihartavya sad. So why you have to know? Because to get rid of the avidya from inside. To get rid of the avidya from inside. So yasya avidya sadam pariharishyati. So then the answer comes, one who has got avidya, he knows how to get rid of it. You don't have to tell him. Nanu mamam eva avidya. So it says that avidya is in me. Avidya is in me. So then the question comes, janasi tarhi avidya tadvandam cha almanam. So if you know that there is avidya in you, and if you still know that you have got avidya inside, janami nadu pratyakshena, I know it is there, but I can't explain that properly. Avidya is there in me, but I don't know. Indirectly, I can't perceive that avidya myself. That is our problem now, isn't it? We all know that avidya is there in us, but we are not able to know it. Where is that avidya in me? Where exactly it is? So, like that. Okay. So, anumanina che janasi katham sambandha grahanam. Through anumanam. Anumanam means through inference. If you know that, how will you know this connection between avidya and ajnani? Ajnani and avidya, how will you know the connection? You see, this is a difficulty here. We are saying everyone is full of knowledge. Everyone is a reality, everyone is a jnani, isn't it? Knowledge is there because self is there, knowledge is there. So once you accept that, you know that the soul has no avidya there and he is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge, the soul. That is one side. On the other side, we are calling a person a jnani and he has to remove the avidya from inside. Avidya. So how will you know that the person who has avidya and he has become the object of avidya? He has become the object of avidya. Jnadava. There are three things. Jnayam, jnadava. Krishna will say that later on. Jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam. One verse you will see. I think it is in the same chapter. Then jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam. So I think it is in the 13th chapter only, I think. These are all from the Upanishads, completely taken from the Upanishads. This is jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam.
It's 18.
18th, is it?
Yeah.
18 what? that's 17. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. Tamasa paramuchyate. 17th in this book, but I don't know, maybe it is 18 there. Yeah. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. Tamasa paramuchyate. Jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam. Hrithi sarvasya vishtidam. So, jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam hrithi sarvasya vishtidam. There you can see that knowledge and the person who is that jnayam, what is to be known, and jnanabhalam, they are all evam jnanam gamyam jnayam eva jnadam sat jnanabhalam idi jnanagamyam uchade jnayamanam tu jnayam. Jnanam means not glorifying oneself. That jnanam, that means there's nothing to be glorified about the you are actually, when you glorify, what you are glorifying? Your false ego, isn't it? If you glorify someone, you are actually glorifying his false ego. You are glorifying his false ego. Both glorification and as well as the other one, criticism, or what do they call it? Stuti Ninda, both. Both also has no effect on the soul, self. It's also, for whom are you doing this? For the ego. You glorify someone, you are actually glorifying his ego. You criticize or insult, or you speak in a critical way, you are criticizing his ego. Nothing to do with the soul. Jnanam is that state when you don't do this. And Krishna also says that in the Ekadasha Skandham, isn't it? Parasubhava karmani na prashamse nagrahayat. Because if you are doing that, that means you are on the platform of the body, on the platform of ego. You are glorifying someone or criticizing someone. Ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Because you are on the platform of the falsity, asatyam. So that. So in the same way here, Krishna is saying here that this relationship between the jnatava means one who experiencing that, jnayam, the topic what he is experiencing, jnayam, that vastu. And if you are thinking that, this is a difficult thing, because here the problem is, avidya is there inside us. We have the avidya inside. We are also saying that the self has no avidya. So if you say like that, you have to bring somebody else who knows about this avidya inside. Isn't it? Self has no avidya. We say we have got avidya inside. That means you have to bring someone else to make sure that that person who is saying that he has got avidya, you have to know someone, you need someone else to identify him. That's the problem. For example, I have avidya inside. I'm saying I've got avidya. Now the self is completely independent. He's not involved in any of this. What goes on in the subtle body or my gross body. He's totally independent. He's full of eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. That's what he is. That self, Kshetrajna, is like that. Then I'm saying that I've got avidya. I'm saying that I've got avidya. So if I am saying that I've got avidya, the question comes, who is this person saying? And somebody must be, a third person must be there to ask this person, who is the second person who is talking about avidya inside? This problem comes from that question. So, and that cannot be solved, that problem, because if you bring a third person to talk about third person, there will be a fourth person who will come from that. So, therefore, if there is avidya and if something else has to be known, it will always remain as jnayam, to be known, and jnatava, that means one who knows about it, will remain as jnatava. So as long as you have these things, jnatava, jnayam, like this, that means you have got what is known as tripudi. Remember tripudi? Mention that. That means like jiva, ishvara, jagat. Three things. This is tripudi. In total realization, these three things goes away. There is no three. There is only one then. All other religions in this world is based on this principle. Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat. Isn't it? I am here. God is there, up somewhere. And the world is there. Me, the world and God. Three, like a triangle. Me, the world and the God. This is called tripudi. In Vedic literature, what they are telling us is, when self-realization happens, these three things go. Jiva goes, world goes, and what exists is knowledge, pure consciousness. And that is perfection. Otherwise, as long as you have these three, Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat, this concept, then correspondingly, you have to have a hellish planet, and to have a heavenly planets. And then, you, along with that, you have to have so many other explanations to that, coming from that. You have to explain everything about the demigods, about the... And then you have to explain all the hellish planets, what's going on there. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. So, you will see this in the other religious processes, where they will say Jiva Ishvara Jagat. That means me, the world and the God. You will always have to explain things that after death I'll go to God. Not now. After death you will go there. And then you have to explain what happens there. Like the husband and wife saying here. Wife says, after death I'll meet him there. In the heavenly planet. Now that all becomes a little bit dodgy, isn't it? It's very difficult to explain all that properly. It's no logic. That is why in Vedam don't accept this. Jiveshura Jagat is a lower conception. It is there in the religious life, but it's a very lower conception. Perfect conception is right now here. If you are the soul, you are free. And coming to that realization is more important than seeing a God finally later after death somewhere else, in some planet, in some form, what happens there. All this you have to explain, is it not? Just like we have to explain so many things. People will ask you questions, what is happening in Vaikuntham? How will you answer that? How much explanation can you give for Vaikuntham or Kailasam? And a lot of people are finding it very difficult to get that answer to that, and it remains as a complete mystery to us, is it not? That's where Vedantam is a little ahead of all these things. It gives you an answer here. And Krishna has also not spoken very much into the other side. He has spoken very much to the Vedantic tradition. He spoke with that. So the question will come otherwise, that what happens there when you go? If you have another world, if you have to go there, what will happen there? And some people say Kailasam is better or Vaikuntham is better. Where's the best place to go? All these questions you have to answer then, isn't it? So it becomes a bit difficult. So that Tripudi has to go. That is what Krishna is saying here, that avidya and the person who is experiencing avidya, that avidya and the person who is experiencing avidya, jnanam yayam jnanagamyam, and the process of removing that avidya, all these things must go. Finally, what remains is pure consciousness. So this jnana swarupam, that is swarupam. Swarupam is knowledge. Swarupam is knowledge. Knowledge is our swarupam, actually. Bhagavatam also has spoken like that. But then in bhakti concept, we have to start somewhere, isn't it? So therefore, we have a form to worship. We chant the holy name. And that's the only way you can come out of it. There is no other way. It's all required. There is nothing that you know, nothing is rejected. Everything is necessary. So when you come to spiritual life, first you discipline the body and the mind. So therefore you need the chanting process, you need the deity worship, you need the regulative principles. Why? Because if the body and mind is not disciplined, the higher knowledge is difficult to acquire. It won't go in, it will completely go through the mind and the brain. It won't go into the self inside. It won't happen there where it is meant to happen. It won't happen. That is why nothing is rejected, it's all kept there. But at the particular time in the spiritual life, there comes its own role it has to play. It has to play. So, jnanam is our swarupam. Jnanam is our swarupam. Because if you read Bhagavad Gita seriously, you will notice how much Krishna has stressed on the jnanam, isn't it? In so many places, you will see in the 7th chapter, jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyama sheshada. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Everywhere jnanam, he keeps talking about it. Seventh chapter, second verse. Jnanam deham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada yajnatva neha bhuyo jnatavyam avashishyade. See that? And you look into Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna finally says goodbye to Uddhava, what did he say to him? In the Ekadasha, you will see there, jnatavyam avashishyade. Uddhava, if you have got this, there is nothing else to be known, he says. The last words before saying goodbye to Uddhava, he says, Yadavyam avashishyade. He says, one who has drunk the nectar, will he ask for a fruit juice? He's saying, Pitva piyusham amrdam, Yadavyam avashishyade. He says. So there also Krishna says the same thing, what he mentions here in the 7th chapter. Pitva piyusham amrdam yadavyam avashishyade. One who has drunk this nectar of Ekadasha Skandam, would he ask for something else? He says. That's how he puts it. So there you can see this importance what Krishna has given to. So many places you will see the same thing. Krishna repeatedly mentioned this jnanam, jnanam. Bahunam janmanamande jnanavanmam prabadhyade vasudeva sarvamidi samahalpa sudurlabha. And before that verse, udara sarvaye vede jnani tualpmeiva memadam astida sahiyuktalma mameva autamam gadim. Prior to that, tesham jnani nitya yukta ekabhaktir vishishyade priyo hi jnani nothyartham aham sajamama priya. Now, in these verses, Krishna talks about jnani. At the same time, Krishna says that jnani is the best devotee. From there you can see jnanam and bhakti is not different. They are not two different processes. We are used to this boxes, isn't it? We like to put it in the box. Therefore the problem comes. But if you study Bhagavad Gita properly, you will notice there that jnanam and bhakti, although we call by two different names, Krishna is saying to us, jnani tual astida sahayuktal priyohi jnanino atyartam ahimsa cha mama priya. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyade. Among all the devotees, he is the best, he says, that jnani. So in other words, Krishna's eyes, he is not seeing jnani and the devotee separately. He is not seeing them separately anymore. So udara, all those verses in that chapter, and then even in the fifth chapter also, Krishna is saying the same thing. So all over, you will notice this Krishna talking about jnanam. Even in the fourth chapter, he said, ajnyascha ashraddhadanascha samshayalpma vinashyati. One who is an ajnanam, and one who has got no shraddha, then samshayalpma vinashyati, he is never going to make it. Krishna says like that, isn't it? Nayam logosti na paro na sukham samshayalpmana. Then another place he says there, shraddhavan labhade jnanam kasalparasam yade indriya jnanam labdhva. What will happen? Param shandim achirenadi gachadi. After jnanam, what will happen to him? Param shandi. Shandi will come to him. Only shandi is acceptable, not anything else. Sometimes we mistakenly think that if I feel some excitement inside and it will not last. It will come and it will go. Shandi is meant to stay. Shandi is the nature of the soul, not ecstasy. Ecstasy is not the nature of the soul. Shandi is the nature of the soul. That is why Krishna says there, Shraddhavan labhade jnanam talpara samyadendriya. That is the 39th verse in the 4th chapter. Jnanam labdhva param shandim achirenadi gachadi. He will get shandi. So many places, shandi, 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 Krishna keeps talking about. Is it not? And the verse before that, 38, he says, Nahi jnani enasadrasham pavitramiha vidyade tat samyam yoga samsiddham kalen alpani vindadi. Krishna says like that, isn't it? So, and the verse before that, yathaidamsi samiddho agnir basmasad kurude arjuna jnana agni sarvagarmani basmasad kurude tatha. Jnanam agni sarvagarmani basmasad kurude tatha. It will burn all your karmam. Karmam will be burned in the fire of jnanam. And the verse before that, abhijedasi pabebhya sarvebhya papakritamaha sarvam jnana plaveneiva vrijinam sandarishyasi. So it goes on and on. About the jnanam, Krishna has gone way ahead talking about it. So the same thing here, karmam, karma phalam, this is all ajnanam. And due to ajnanam, it is superimposed on the soul. If it is like that, is it true that all the duties are only for the ajnani? That question will come then, isn't it? If karmam, karma phalam, and if they are not real, and if it is imposed on the soul, if it is like that, is there no duty? It is only in the ajnani stage. Shastram says yes. So for us, our so-called karmam, what we are concerned about, our responsibility or duty, what we keep talking about in this world, that is only validity till you realize the truth. And only in the ignorant state, like family members, people feel that, oh, I have to look after my family, isn't it? And it gets, and then society, community, and then it goes into the country level. It becomes the prime minister thinks that they have to look after the country, or the ministers think like that, isn't it? or the and they make group together to protect the country because they feel their responsibility that. So all these things is there when ajnanam is there. Once you know ajnanam jnani, then you don't have any duty. You don't have any responsibility. So you can see what jnanam brings in. It gives you complete freedom from the ignorance. Complete freedom from the ignorance. And due to ajnanam alone, we suffer in this world. That's what is causing the misery. All the ajnanam, all the misery in this world is purely due to ajnanam or avidya. Nothing else. That is the conclusion. So that is basically the little discussion about this verse. Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarvakshetreshu bharata. Kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. So saying that this is the kshetram, Krishna is going to now start talking about kshetram now. So we'll start that after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaitava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam ആനന്ദം ബുദ്ധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാപ്നാസുപനം പരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിത നിയമിത സ്മരണേന കാലാം ഏതാദൃശം തവ കൃപ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരവിശുനീചേന തരോരവി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരിം നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരിം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഗിത്വൈ ഐ നന്ദതനുജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം വിഷമേ ഭവാംബുദൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജസ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകേർനിചിതം കഥാവഭൂതവന്നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദവിരഹേ നമേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഭിനഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാതുലംബട മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാഹം.
So far Krishna has spoken about Kshetrajnan and Kshetram, the difference, isn't it? Kshetram, Kshetrajnayor Jnanam, Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Vidhi, Krishna says. Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Vidhi. Arjuna, Mam Vidhi. I am Kshetrajna, know that. Mam Vidhi, Kshetrajna. I am that, Kshetrajna. Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. In all the Kshetram, I am the one. That's Kshetrajna inside. What else? Sarva Kshetram, Kshetrajnayor Jnanam. This knowledge of Kshetram and Kshetrajnam is knowledge. Yatal jnanam matam mama. That is my matam. That is my matam. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying like that. This knowledge of kshetram kshetrajnam is my matam. That's my opinion, he said. So we have also discussed that in order to this, we mentioned this before, this is a journey inwards. It's not a journey outwards. It's a journey inwards towards kshetrajnam. From kshetram, you are travelling towards the kshetrajna inside. That means the journey is towards inside. Isn't it? So, as usual, Krishna is saying here that first thing is to know the Kshetram properly. Because if you only know the Kshetram very well, you can know about the Kshetrajnam properly. That is the principle behind it. So that is why in this chapter, Krishna starts with this Kshetram first. Kshetram first. Let us look at that verse. That is, I think, verse 4, isn't it? Fourth verse. All the next few verses is all about Kshetram. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6, all about Kshetram. It's talking about Kshetram. And then we'll come to that later. Let's look at this verse first one. Verse 4, sorry. There's one verse which is missing in this, the first one. So, verse 4. Talkshetram yachaya drikcham. Yadvigari yadaschayad. Sajayo yad prabhavascham. Tatsamasena meshrunum. Talkshetram yachaya drikcham. Yadvigari yadaschayad. Sajayo yad prabhavascham. Tatsamasena meshrunum. Okay. Tatkshetram. Vikshetram. Tatkshetram. Which is that kshetram? Earlier mentioned idam shariram. That kshetram. Earlier he said, isn't it? In the second verse he said idam shariram. That idam shariram, that shariram, Krishna is calling it as tatkshetram. That shariram is referred to as kshetram here. Says tatkshetram yacha yadriksha yad vigari yadaschayad. Sajayo yad prabhavascha tat samasena me shrunu. Krishna says tat samasena me shrunu. Let's look at that. So that shariram, idam shariram, Krishna has called here, he says kshetram. Krishna calls it as kshetram. That kshetram is yacha yadriksha yadrisham. And what is that, the nature of that kshetram? Yad vigari. Vigari. Vigaram means, you know what means vigaram means? Vigaram means changes. What changes happens there? Krishna is saying. Because changes is happening, that's why it is called vigaram. Vigaram means change. In kshetrajnyan, no vigaram. Never any vigaram, no changes. Kshetram, there is always vigaram. Isn't it? There's always vigaram. So Krishna is going to talk about that vigaram that is going to change, happens in this body. So all this vigaram or changes is for the body, is for the body. You may ask the question, if that we can find out from anatomy. In the medical science, they have the anatomy, isn't it? But Krishna is not going to talk about the anatomy here. Don't go in the other way. Because anatomy is one which talks about the body, isn't it? Body anatomy, they say. But it is not the anatomy Krishna is going to discuss here. Krishna is going to discuss, you'll see this, what Krishna is going to say about the body, which is completely different than what you will study in the medical school. So, anatomy is referred to mostly due to shavam. Dead body it is, isn't it? Based on that, they have developed that science around the around that dead body, that they have brought up, cut it all open and brought it out different parts of the body and said this is that, this is that. Later on they have developed identifying that through the other mechanisms, instruments and all, to find out where they are inside this body. But Krishna is not talking about that. Krishna is seeing this body purely as a temple. Purely as a temple he is seeing this body. He's not, dead body is called shavam. Isn't it? That body is shavam. Krishna's body is shivam. Shiva means, not Lord Shiva means, actually it means auspiciousness. Why? Because Krishna is present inside. Therefore, this is a temple. Krishna looks at the body as a temple, not anymore as a dead body. Not as a dead body. And Krishna says here that so long as the deity is there, it's a temple. So long as the deity is there. But if the deity has gone, then it is nothing but a building, isn't it? Just like a building. It's not a mandir anymore. It's not a temple anymore. It's simply a building, that sort. Therefore, only when the murti or the deity is inside, that is what Krishna is calling it as kshetram. That we have to take it like this, not look in the other way. Medical science, they will say, oh, body is separate, this is separate. Body, they will start doing everything with it. No. Krishna, don't look at the body that way. Krishna is saying, it's only a kshetram when the kshetrajnan is there. When the kshetrajnan is there. And in that kshetram, yacha, what is that kshetram? He says, what is the basic material? Yadrik. And what kind of existence has it got? Yad vigari, and what kind of changes are happening in that body? Yatascha, and where did that come from? These are the questions Krishna is putting forward there. Yad vigari, yatascha, you see that? yat cha yadrik cha yad vikari yatashchayat.
How Krishna studies the body is not the way we study the body. We are in ignorance wandering around, isn't it? And in ignorance we are trying to understand something. And even after so many years of research, still every doctor will admit that they don't know about the body. How it will react, isn't it? How it will react. It is such a complex mechanism. Mechanism, if you want to call it as a mechanism. It's not a mechanism also. Whatever you call it, this vastu of this body is something very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. That's why in one place in the Bhashyam, Acharya Swami says, you keep saying you know your body, you know your body. How much do you know about your body is asking the question. And it's the truth. We don't know about our own body, isn't it? We don't know about ourselves. This body, how it will react, when it will give trouble, when it will start creating problems, you don't know. It's very difficult to say. Today it is there, and it is there, you can take it like that. That's all you can, that's how much you can trust this body. Tomorrow what it will do to you, you don't know about it. You don't know. Sometimes you may get through for a long period of time and suddenly something happens and then you go. For some people it happens much earlier. It starts giving a lot of trouble throughout the life and then it goes. But how will you logicize all these things? That is what Krishna is saying here. Without knowing this vikaram, the changes that is happening in the body and the cause behind it, without knowing any of these things, you are simply studying the body. What good is it? Without why it is happening to the body, certain problems, why it comes to the body, we have no explanation to that. We have no explanation to that. So sometimes we can see when cancer comes, they are very helpless about it. They can't say anything about it. They say previously these people, they used to give a prognosis. And they'll say, oh, you may live for 3 months, 6 months and all that. But history has always proved wrong. They were all wrong. When they said 3 months, they lived 30 years. Later. Or when they said they live for 3 years, they live for on 3 months, gone. So what do you do? So who, that is the point. That is what important there, isn't it? If you're not taking into account that, what are you studying about the body then? That is Krishna's question. So that is why that vigaram Krishna says here, where is it coming from? Why was it created? Why did that come into existence? Vachayoya prabhavanti. And what is its characteristics? Sachyo yat prabhavascha. What is the prabhavam? Prabhava means what is its what does it do actually? What is it capable of doing, this body? And what is the benefit? Yat prabhavaha and ye prabhavaha ubhadikritaha shaktayaha. And in that body has got ubhadi in there, isn't it? There are ubhadis in here. What is that? Intelligence, ego, mind, senses, they are all the ubhadis. And in ubhadis, what all power has that got? Ubhadi. See how Krishna studies the body? Not like the way we study the body. Krishna says that why was this body come up like this? Why did the body come up like this? And what are the changes happening in the body? And what is the causes behind that changes? What's happening in the body? And its ubhadi is combined. He's not looking at intestines, liver and kidney and all that. That's not how Krishna studies the body. Krishna studies the whole body as one and says that this form what you have got, you are thinking it is same for everybody. No, as far as Krishna is concerned, it is not. It is different for everybody's body. In the sense, it is dependent on the subtle body inside, that body what he has got. The body has come from the subtle body. From the mind came the body, isn't it? So, it is based on this principle Krishna says here, that what are the ubhadi, and in that ubhadi, what power the ubhadis have got, and what changes can happen in the ubhadi. Krishna is saying here, I will tell you about that. He says, that samasena me shrunu. Samasena. Samasena means, Krishna says here, that samasena means in a condensed form. Vyasena means in an expanded form. Vedavyasa Maharshi is called Vedavyasa, isn't it? Because he expands everything. Shastram, what the rishis have given to us, Vedavyasa expanded that, is it not? That's why it's called Vedavyasa. Vyasam is the opposite of that. Samasam means to condensed form. In a condensed form. So Krishna is saying here, tat samasena me shrunu. Hear from me in samasena. Samasena means in a very condensed form, you hear from me. So that is how he says like this. So when you start studying Bhagavad Gita, this chapter, you should not start studying this thinking that you know about your body. You should start studying that. If you start studying this body the way Krishna has spoken, fully taking into account you don't know about the body anything, you should start like that. Then it will have its benefit. But if you start thinking and bringing all your medical knowledge into it, and start thinking that, oh, because we are all, it is in our head, little bit of this medical knowledge, isn't it? And that is what causes problem often. Because of suffering with the body, we have started taking medicines, and then we go and refer in the internet various diseases, and doctors have also injected that into our head in a certain way, and the science and everything, our education, everything has injected that into us, a certain way of looking at the body. If you keep that in the mind and study this, it won't help. You have to throw that away, whole thing, and see the body, how Krishna is going to talk about that. He says, all these things I know. If you start thinking like that and start studying this, you won't know it. So you have to first think that, I don't know anything about this body, and keep away everything what you have studied before or heard about it, forget all that thing, and continuously give then attention to your own body. And then you start giving attention to your own body. So first thing to see in the body, what is happening inside this body? What is happening inside this body? And what is this body? That's the first thing to look at. What is this body? And what are the changes that is happening in this body? That is what one should look at to understand this chapter. Krishna is explaining to us Kshetram properly, so that we'll understand later when he comes to Kshetrajna state. So, in other words, one should look at one's own body as the most amazing thing. He should stand away from the body and look at his own body. You should move away from the body and look at your own body as the most amazing thing. If you have done that, you will know a lot of things about this body. You'll know a lot of things about this body. You can't generalize anything with body is concerned. You can see, if you carefully observe in this world, when we come to this world, more or less, you know, the body will be different with everybody, isn't it? Okay, as a baby, they may look different, not only looks, but already the strength in that body, the intelligence in that body, and the kind of problems that body is going to experience later, those things are already there, in there, but we don't know about it. What we do is, we will blame the weather for something, or we'll blame something else, the food I have eaten, for the problems of the body. And some people you can see, you know this, what is his name? Arnold Schwarzenegger, the big bodybuilder in America, is a governor of California and all that. He's from Austria. So this person, one time he was a hero everywhere, wasn't it? Young people used to look up to him, seeing his body and the muscles and everything, because he was very much into that. A lot of people tried to become like it, but they would not become. Why? If everything is same, it should become, but it didn't happen. Many people tried, it didn't happen like that. Similarly, so many people, everybody cannot have that body like the way they have. Even if you try, you probably will get sick and you'll be in the bed for the rest of the life. Like all these things, people do a lot of things, seeing other body, thinking that my body is also like his body. But all our bodies are different. Krishna is telling us, stay away from the body and look at your own body. That's the most amazing experience. So, problem is, if you study a lot about this body outside, then it is a big problem. Then you will look at this body only through that. You won't look at yourself. Your own way, you won't look at the body. This is a big problem. If you have studied this medicine for 5 or 8 or 7 or 8 years, and you passed a lot of examinations, you talk to him anything about this body like the way Krishna is saying here, he will immediately bring that medical knowledge into it. And he will start saying, that's a problem. That's a conditioning. Because you have gone through another system and you have studied the body in that way. So, for example, in the olden days, one who is not educated, sometimes what he'll do if he gets a stomach pain, he'll go into the garden and pull out something and eat it, and sometimes it gets cured also in this body. Now, if a person who is gone through the medical system, what he will say? Take an MRI first. He will say, it could be an ulcer, inside, or is it a cancer? Something like that, he will start, all the doubts will come along with it. I'm not criticizing the medicine. What I'm saying is that when you do that way, approach the body, this problem comes. That's the only way you can think about the body after that, if you have studied in a particular way. But while studying this chapter, you shouldn't go in that direction. You should simply ignore everything what you have known about the body before. Stand separately and look at your own body and look at others' body. And you see what is going on here in this body. So so when these problems happens in the body, we also make another thing, because if you have studied a lot of things about the body in the medical college or medical school, what will happen is when some problem comes into the body, immediately all this knowledge also start flowing in from there, and you will start imagining in yourself that have I got this body problem or that problem. All these things will happen. This is all because of studying body, medicine. This is what will happen. That you will start thinking that have I got this problem, I got that problem. Because doctors will suspect many things. You may not have even thought about it, but he will start thinking about all the other things what you didn't have. And if you don't have it, he will bring it into you and give it to you. That you are inviting that disease which you didn't have it. You will bring it inside. So, but that is not what we are going to discuss here. What Krishna is saying here, that this topic what Krishna is discussing here is not medical science. It is not medical science. On the other hand, it is spiritual. It is spiritual understanding of the body. Therefore, Krishna begins this as kshetram. That is why I use that word kshetram. Because kshetram is spiritual. Shariram is material. Shariram is material. The reason why Krishna used that word kshetram is to make it understand that it is from a spiritual platform how he sees the body. How he sees the body. So therefore, Krishna says here, what does this kshetra mean and what is its nature? I am going to say that to you, Arjuna. And Krishna is going to say this in a very different way about the kshetram, the way Krishna is going to explain that. And while saying that, Krishna says, it's all based on the rishis before, past rishis, how they have seen the body. Krishna also uses authority always. He's saying how the great sages in the past, how they have seen this body. Krishna begins with that. If you look at the next verse, you will see that. Verse 5, isn't it? Okay. Verse 5. Hrishibir bahudha gītam chandobhir vividhai prithak Brahma Sutra Padaischeva Hedumadbhir Vinischidehi Krishibhir Bahudha Gidam Chandobhir Vivithai Prithak Brahma Sutra Padaischeva Hedumadbhir Vinischidehi. Now, Krishibir Bahudha Gidham Chandobir Vividhai Pradak Brahma Sutra Padaischeva Hedumadbir Vinischidai. That is the way Krishna starts with the body. He's not trying to talk about the body, but the reference book is not the medical school text. Brahma Sutram is the Brahma Sutram, and also he says Bahudha Gidham Chandobir Vividhai Pradak Brahma Sutra Padaischeva Hedumadbir Vinischidai. You can say Krishibhi. Rishabhi means all the great sages. Rishabhi. Who all? Vasishta, Vishwamitra and all that. Great, great souls. Bahudha, in many different ways, Gidam, they have sung. Chandobhi, all the Chandas or Vedic hymns. Chandamsi, Hrigvadinitehi. Rigvedam and others. All these Vedic Vedas. Chandobhi Vithai, Nana Prakarehi. In various ways, they have looked at this body. In various ways, they have looked at this body. That's what Krishna is saying. They have looked at this body in various ways. So, as soon as you start reading this chapter, you must remember that all that medical school knowledge or the knowledge from the internet or knowledge from the GP or knowledge from the hospital, what you have brought with us, You have to keep that behind, because that is only for, that is one process what is developed in this material life based on the material body they have developed. It's not spiritual knowledge. It has nothing to do with spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is not seeing kidney, intestines, liver and all that. Spiritual knowledge is that Kshetrajna's activity inside. When Kshetrajna is inside, how he runs this show of things called body. And what reality, how reality is there in this body. All these things, that's what is Krishna is going to say. So, so in the last verse, Tarkshetram yache yadrakcha yadvikari yadaschayad sajyo yad prabhavascha tad samasena me shrunu. So there, Krishna mentions there that yad cha itam nirdishtam kshetram tal yadrak yadrisham sukhiye dharmaicha. Shabda samuchayartha yad vikariyo vikara asya tad yad vikariyado asmat cha yad karyam ubalabhyade iti vakya sheshaha. So here you can see Krishna gives an importance to one thing, yad vikari. What is vikaram? Changes that is happening in the body. You are comparing kshetram with kshetrajnan. Kshetrajnan has no vikaram. Kshetram has vikaram. Krishna is telling us, look at the vikaram that is happening in the kshetram first. And what kind of vikaram he is talking about? And what is the reason for this change in the body? For what reason and why this has happened? This changes in the body has happened. Anatomy won't tell you that. They will only start treating you. If you have some pain, they'll give you the painkillers. Or if you got some other problem, they will operate it and take it away from inside. That is one way of dealing with the body. But that is not the proper solution to the problem, isn't it? So he says here, yat prabhava jada kshetra kshetrajnyo yadhalpyam yatha visheshanam samasena samkshepena me mama vakyada shrunu shrutva avadharayam ityartaha. Know the reality of kshetram and kshetrajnya, Krishna is saying here. Because kshetrajnya is same in everybody. Kshetram is different. Isn't it? So the same Kshetrajnan, how he got different Kshetram? This is Krishna's question. Does the medical science answer that? They don't have any answer to that. Krishna's question is, same Kshetram is present in everyone, but why did he get different, same Kshetrajnan is present in everyone, why did he get different Kshetram? That's what Krishna wants to answer. First of all, start from there, Krishna says, instead of going with all your other knowledge, what you have created in this world, that is no use, because rishis sees from the very subtle level. They have to see from there. Otherwise, all spiritual knowledge has no meaning. If it is gross like the medical science, then what benefit is there? They tell us, why such a body I got, or yourself, why did you get a body like this? That we have to know, isn't it? That is why he says here, that what is the Kshetrajnan and what is his Upadhi there? So, Kshetra Kshetrajnyo Yadhalpam Vivakshidam Staudi Shrotri Buddhya Pradochanartham. So in order to do that, to create some taste in the people, because when you speak like this, the chances are that if you are not Kshetram, you'll start thinking, why do I have to worry about Kshetram? Then why should I study with Kshetram? If Kshetram is not there, permanent, the body. So in order to do that, Krishna first thing what he does is he glorifies both Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. Because ultimately, Kshetram has come from Kshetrajnan. Isn't it? From Kshetrajnam came the mind. And from the mind came intelligence, ego. And the mind, when it wanted to experience the world, it got a gross body. It's the other way. We are thinking world is there, I am in the world, come in the world temporarily and go away. No, it's not like that. Reality is, I am Kshetrajnan always existing. And from that Kshetrajnan, mind has come. From the mind, body has come. And from the body, senses have come. And through the senses, I started enjoying the world outside. Is it not? So, because it is like that, Kshetram is very much connected with Kshetrajnan. Everybody, in everyone's case. But Kshetram doesn't undergo any changes. Kshetrajnam is always changing. Kshetrajnan never changes. Kshetram is always changing. So, what does Krishna says here? Krishna is quoting about Kshetram and Kshetrajnam from the greatest authority, the rishis, the sages. How they saw this body, this Kshetram, in other words. That is why, Hrishabhir Bahudha Gitam, Krishna says, that rishis, they have seen, sung about this body in so many different ways. Chandobir Vividhai Prithak. That various ways they have explained this existence of this body, particularly Brahma Sutra Padesh Chaiva. In Brahma Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi has explained it very well. Hedu Madhbir Vinishchidai. Hedu Madhbir Vinishchidai. The cause of this body. How this has come into existence, all that is explained there. So, with great understanding, the rishis have spoken about that. And Brahma Sutra Padesh Chaiva means that Brahma Sutram has got 555 sutram there. If you look into Brahma Sutram, any commentary you will see there, there are 555 sutrams there. And it is the cream of Vedic knowledge. Cream of the Vedic knowledge. It is that Brahma Sutram is the pivot. Based on that, all other books are centered around. Vedavyasa Maharshi's master creation is that, this Brahma Sutram, or Vedanta Sutram as it is called. You can see when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that was the discussion, isn't it? Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram. So, Brahma Sutram is the key text. All other knowledge has come from that in some form or the other. Brahma Sutram has come from Upanishads. That is also there. Upanishads in a very condensed much more sutra form, in other words, aphorisms it's called, isn't it? It is Brahma Sutra. Bhagavad Gita has also a lot to do with Brahma Sutra. That is why Bhagavad Gita says Brahma Sutra Padesh Chaiva Hedu Madhbir Vinishchidai. So, Brahma Sutra Padam says, through Atma and Brahma Sutram, it has been very clearly explained that the soul must be realized. Soul must be realized to know the body. Soul must be realized. That you will see when the jnanis, when they have realized the truth, they look at their own body and see, when we see them, they will get, even though they are in the body after realization, they will get sick and they will feel the pain and we will feel sorry for them when we see that. But they are not feeling that way. They will say it's happening to the body and unaffected by the body. They can stay like that. And that's only possible because they have come to that state of dehastobhina dehasta, isn't it? Deham means shariram, or what we call as the body here. So dehastobhina dehasta, once that state comes, then whatever happens in the body, you won't know about it. Although people outside will feel sorry for you that you are suffering with this or that. So that is why Krishna straight away glorified this verse like this and says, rishis have spoken about this kshetram kshetrajna a lot. So, for example, about kshetram, there is plenty of shastram also. Ayurvedam, for example, is a shastram. And Ayurvedam has spoken about this body in one way. That is why Krishna is saying, rishibhir bahudha gidam. Ayurvedam is also coming from a rishi, isn't it? So, but they have spoken in one way. And they have given explanation to the body in one way. This body is an amazing thing. If you ask one answer to it, you can't give an answer to this body because it acts in different ways with different people. So, generally, what do they say about the body? Generally, I'm saying, they say it's made of 5 material elements, isn't it? This body is made of 5 material elements. So, 5 earth, water, air, ether, and fire. That's what this body is made of. In a general sense, they'll talk about that. And kshetram, about kshetram, Upanishads and the rishis have also spoken certain things about this body. Apart from these 5 material elements, they have spoken various other things about this body. They are also saying that this body has come from prarabdham. Isn't it? They are saying, that is why our bodies are different. Because your prarabdham is different than my prarabdham, my body is different from your body. This is the reason behind it. Now, they have started now realizing their research now is going to a stage now. They are talking about this DNA and all that. It is this prarabdham that they are finding in the DNA. That they are saying that something is in their genetics, or it is a very gross form of expression of that prarabdham is this DNA. What we call as DNA and all these things It's a very gross expression of that prarabdham which is subtle, what has created that body. They have started relating with that to some degree now. They started realizing, the scientists also, that everything is not that straightforward, what they thought before. It's not that straightforward. So, rishis are saying to us, prarabdham is the cause of the body. Bahudha means many ways. Bahudha means many ways. Prahu praharehi gidam. Many ways they have sung about this body. Just like one way is these five material elements constitutes the body. That's one way of explanation of the body. Rishis are saying to us, prarabdham is the cause of this body. They are not bothered about what material it is made of. Their answer is, why did this come into existence, first instance? That's they are concerned about. They are not concerned about what is it made of. So, different way of looking at the things, isn't it? So, according to their authority, according to their qualifications, they have used this body in different ways, they have explained about it. And similarly, Kshetrajna also, they have, and about the soul, rishis have spoken in different ways. About Kshetrajna also, rishis have spoken in a different ways. So both Kshetram and Kshetrajna, the rishis have different opinion about that. Also, it exists. That is what says, Chandobihi vividhai prithak. Videhi prithak. So, different Upanishads and Chandas and Vedam also has spoken about it in various ways. That is how Krishna puts it. He's not giving one answer. We are looking for one answer, isn't it? You won't get one answer from Krishna. Never. He will always give you various options and he will tell you, now you realize it and you find out yourself. So, Rishabhir Bahudha Gidam, Bahudha Gidam, Chandobir Vividhai Prithak, Brahma Sutra Padaischeva, Hedu Madbhir Vinishchitai. So, in the name of Brahma Sutram, what Vedavyas did was, he created this 555 Sutram and left it there, like that, in that way. And he also says that what he has done there is he made it much more rational. In the Brahma Sutram. That's what he has done. But Brahma Sutram, if you just take it and read it, you won't get a clue what he is talking about because it's in the Sutra form. Therefore, we have commentaries from all the great Acharyas, Shankaracharya's commentary, Ramanujas, Madhvacharya's, and all traditions, there is commentary on the Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutram, it is a must. They have to comment on that. Only then their Siddhantam will be acceptable to us. So, that is why I say, in a rational way, in a much more logical way, with reasoning and logic, Hedu Madhir Vinishchidai. Hedu Madhir Vinishchidai, Krishna is saying there. That means with cause and effect, that with the reason behind it, about the body, about the mind, about the soul, Vedavyasa has spoken in the Brahma Sutra. If you buy Brahma Sutra and look at it, there is many pages after page discussing about deep sleep state, dream state, and in the awakened state, what is going on? Things you may not have imagined in your life is discussed in that. What is going on at that state, isn't it? So, Vedavyasa has spoken that in the Brahma Sutra. Why does Krishna say all these things? In order to turn our attention towards Shastram. Towards the Shastram. Hedu Madhur Vinashchidaihi. First of all, Krishna is going to talk about the body itself as such. Why Krishna put this verse, Hedu Madbir, this Brahma Sutra Padaischeva, Hedu Madbir Vinishchidai, is this, that don't go with your authority to study the body or yourself. Go through the authority of the rishis. And the rishis have spoken in different ways. Rishabhir Bahudha Gidam. All of them are acceptable for Krishna. Why is that? Because Krishna is saying like that, when you come to touch the absolute truth, you will find all these relative statements are also correct from the level where it is spoken. Uddhava asked that question to Krishna. Some places there is, they say there is 21 tattvam, some places 14 tattvam, sometimes there is only 3 tattvam, then there is 7 tattvam. Which one is correct? Krishna says everybody is correct, he said. Because there is only one tattvam, he said. It is that one tattvam they are talking in terms of 7 tattvam, 14 tattvam, 23 tattvam, 26 tattvam. According to their understanding, they have explained it. Because the people who have done this, they are not ordinary people. They are rishis, they are sages, they have realized souls. And they have spoken about the truth. but they are all different. So Uddhava asked the same question to Krishna. How come that they are all speaking in different ways? So Krishna says they are all correct, he says. Krishna's answer is like that. He says everybody is correct. The only difference is, he says, they are all speaking from their own realizations. They are speaking. But ultimately, Uddhava, there is only one tattvam. What is that? Atma. That tattvam is spoken in so many different ways like this. So after saying all these things, Krishna is saying, again the same way Krishna is presenting it here also, the rishis have spoken in so many different ways. Krishabir Bahudha Gidam. He's not saying one answer. Krishabir Bahudha Gidam. Chando Bir Vividhai Prithak. In Chandasa, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samayam, in all these things, there is Chandasa. Chandasa means the hymns in the Vedam. They have spoken in different ways, Prithak, separately. And overall, above that, we have got Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutra Padeshcheva Hedu Madhbhar Vinishchide. In Brahma Sutra, he has spoken a lot more in a logical and rational way. From these statements, you can understand how difficult it is to understand this body. Yes. We don't even understand, the medical science don't even understand even 10% of this body. If you ask the questions, they won't have the answer. They may fix your body, that is another thing. But they can't do anything more than that. If you get old, they can't stop it, can they? They say they are trying, but this never happened so far. So similarly, certain illnesses, they have no answer. They have learned certain things like surgery and removing certain parts, putting some parts in, like changing the servicing the car. They have learned certain things to do with this body. But to say that you know everything about this body is a little bit out of the line. It's not acceptable. Because if you see how Krishna presenting the body, in Krishna is saying, you won't be able to understand this body. So complicated is this mechanism inside. And therefore, what Krishna says? Krishna says, Hrishabhir Bahudha Gidam. Rishis have spoken about this body in different ways. And finally, he says, to make it a little easier, Vedavyasa Maharshi has written Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutra Padeshcheva Hedu Madhbhir Vinishchide. And in that Brahma Sutram, a lot of things are discussed in a more rational, logical manner. That's all Krishna says about this body, not giving you a straightforward answer. So, and why does Krishna say like this? So that we become a little bit more subtle in our, we are looking for answer, isn't it? Everything, we want a straightforward answer like this. And it has to be only like that. Otherwise, as soon as it's something different, we get upset. So, but Krishna says, wait a minute, study this in a proper way. First of all, let your process be proper. And therefore, he says, our attention, Hedu Madhbir Vinishchidaihi. And let us look at this, what he talks about the body first. How he sees the body. One way Krishna presents in the Bhagavad Gita. Look at this way. Mahabhudanyahangaro Buddhiravyaktamevacha Buddhiravyaktamevacha Indriyani dashaikamcha Panjajendriya gocharaha Mahabhudanyahangaro Buddhiravyaktamevacha Indriyani dashaikamcha Panjajendriya gocharaha Mahabhudani Ahangaram Buddhi Avyaktamevacha Indriyani Deshaikamcha Panjajendriya gocharaha. Very simple way of presenting it. Krishna is saying five material elements, Panchabhudam, Panchamahabhudam. Added to that, your Ahangaram, false ego, intelligence, Buddhi, and Buddhi and Mula Prakriti. Mula Prakriti means avyaktam, unmanifested things. All of them, 10 senses, mind and the sense objects. That's this body, he says. Very nice way saying. He doesn't say this body is Indian, American, European or African or anything like that. He says body, if you look at the body, you have to look at this way. Material elements are there, false ego is there, intelligence is there, and unmanifested something inside there. That's he saying avyaktam, unmanifested. It's not manifested yet. It's going to manifest later in life. Then what else? The senses and the sense objects. That's all this body ఇంద్రియాణి దశైకం చ పంచ ఇంద్రియ గోచరా. సో
ఇట్స్ 5 o'clock, we'll stop today, continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.